Before we get started, I've got a couple of housekeeping items that I want to go through, and I'm going to read this particular item for you. I'd like to welcome everyone participating in today's meeting or listening online. And I know we have some folks listening to us. This meeting is streaming live at SD.net, which is a South Dakota Public Broadcasting service. The meeting is also being recorded, and the audio will be made available online following the meeting. To find the audio recording online, do a web search for South Dakota Boards and Commissions Portal. Follow the link and select the name of the board. For the benefit of the online listeners, I request that all participants, including board members, please identify yourself when you're speaking. Anyone participating remotely is reminded to keep their microphones or phones muted at all times unless speaking. And then a couple other items that I think I want to talk about here, because we've got situations have changed over the last year and a half. I notice a lot of you are wearing masks, and I highly recommend that you wear a mask while you're in this room and you're not speaking. I can't require you or mandate you to do those kinds of things, but I would ask that maybe you would think about it. We apparently don't have the overflow that we expected, so I think that... Could you let me finish, please? So everybody should be in the room at this time who's going to be making, who's going to be parties to this hearing or will be making public comments. The issues that we're going to be talking about today, and I specifically am referring to the 1045 item on your agenda, will be confined very specifically to whether or not we are going to reopen or recommence the hearings on the applications by PowerTech. So I want you to keep that in mind as you talk about these issues today, whether you be a through public comment period or through actual intervener's comments. So if you start getting a little bit offline, folks, we're going to talk about that. We're going to have you try and stay within the boundaries of the reopening question. So with that, I'd ask the board members, any changes to the agenda today? Motion to approve?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion. We adopt the agenda as presented.
I hear a second.
Second.
Freeman.
Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Comas. Dixon. Freeman.
Aye.
Holzbauer.
Aye.
Hutmaker.
Aye.
Bjork.
Aye. Motion carried. Next item on the agenda will be conflicts, disclosures, and requests for state board waivers. Anything from the board on that issue? Ron, just a quick, is Chad or Peggy online?
Yes.
Okay.
Chad's on and Peggy.
All right, thank you. Hearing none, the next item on the agenda is an order appointing a board member as a pre-hearing officer and an alternate pre-hearing officer for the upcoming year. Ms. Bailey?
Mr. Chairman, Ann Mines Bailey on behalf of the Water Board. I am generally tasked with drafting the order for the board's appointment of pre-hearing chair. The last 2 years we've done it in July. It was missed this July, and so it is up for reappointment. Now we will try our hardest to get it back into the July agenda. I believe previously it's been Mr. Freeman and Mr. Larson as backup.
Mm-hmm. Questions, comments, motion from the board?
Mr. Chairman, I think we have no reason to quit a winner. I would nominate Mr. Freeman and Mr. Larson.
Do I hear a second?
Holzbauer seconds.
Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Comas.
Dixon. Freeman.
Aye.
Holzbauer.
Aye.
Hutmaker.
Aye.
And Bjork.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you.
Ron, is there a way we could hear Peggy's vote?
Okay. While we're doing that,
you just need to sign that.
Oh, okay. I'll do that in a minute. The board minutes from the July 7th meeting. Any additions or corrections? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Freeman, I'll move approval.
Do I hear a second?
Second by Hutmaker.
Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Comas. Dixon. Freeman.
Aye.
Holzbauer.
Aye.
Hutmaker.
Aye.
Bjork.
Aye. We have next on our agenda to talk about the meeting and location for the December 8th and 9th, 8th and or 9th board meeting. And I think we'll postpone that for a while until we go through some of the other issues that we have to deal with today and talk about that a little bit later in the agenda. Status and review of water rights litigation. Anything we need to talk about today?
There's nothing that needs to be addressed by the board at this time.
You just aren't very exciting today, Dave.
I'm trying to not be.
Update on DANR activities. Eric.
Good morning. Take a few minutes just to update the board on a couple of issues that you've been involved in the past. But first, I'd be remiss if I didn't start off talking a little bit about the drought that we've had. Everybody hears about it, knows what happened. You can't drive across South Dakota and you can see the crops and things on that order. But just for this board's information, to a large extent, we dodged somewhat of a bullet this year, at least in my mind. With the James River, Mark Rath and I daily, our first order of business was to go out and look at the USGS gauging stations in the northern area. And although the flows got extremely low, we were helped out because Sand Lake bypassed about 60 CFS most of the summer, which helped considerably. And what I'll tell you, I think we've also trained some of our irrigators there to watch the USGS gauging stations, because when we would see getting critical there at Huron, all of a sudden we would bounce back up. So I think that they were managing their withdrawals to basically keep us from getting a shutoff order and things on that order. As far as groundwater matters, certainly our observation well showed declines, but to be honest with you, we were coming off of almost record high water levels in the groundwater from 2019 and early on 2020. So for the most part, again, I say we kind of dodged a little bit of a bullet, at least this year. Who knows what the future will hold there. I would also tell the board that as far as observation wells, we had a number of observation wells drilled for our network by the South Dakota Geological Survey. I'll talk a little bit about some in the Tulare, but we also had some others that were in areas, whether they were replacement or some new ones and things on that, or over by in the Big Sioux South, we had some done there. I call it kind of a one-sided partnership where the Geological Survey does all the work and we reap all the benefits of that. But we appreciate their efforts there. This board has been aware over the years that the two Tulare aquifers, the Western Spink and East James, fully appropriated. We went through in July of 2020. We did the first five-year review of that. I just want to update the board on some of the steps we're taking for the next 5 years in that regard. As I mentioned with observation wells, we placed 8 new observation wells out in the Tulare. A couple of those were replacement, but a couple of new ones just to get a better perspective on what's going on there and so we can watch that. We also deployed 6 data loggers, and as this board knows, our observation well network, we basically hire summer help, college students to basically run well runs, but they're only doing that every other or every third week. These data loggers are actually basically making a water level reading or recording a water level reading. I think we're doing it every 15 minutes or every half hour. So I think it will be interesting to see how and when we see the recharge and when we see the impacts of withdrawals, you know, coming next spring. So that's going to prove beneficial as well there. And the final thing is one of the things with our observation well network, you know, we just measure water level. So we have a history of record, but they're not necessarily tied to the same datum or anything like that. But what we've started to do is, and we're going to start with the Tulare and hopefully expand beyond that, is we're actually surveying in the casing elevations so that everything will be referenced to the same datum and things on that order, and I think that will prove helpful. We got about half of the Tulare aquifer observation wells done this summer, and it's our hope this fall to train one of our technicians to do some of that work and get that done this fall, winter, or maybe early spring. But as time allows, we plan to do that in other aquifers as well. The board's aware that each March we bring forth violations for a failure to submit the annual irrigation questionnaire. This last March, we suspended, I believe it was 11 that formally got suspended. In May, one of those irrigators came in. The board rescinded. It was either one or two of his permits, and then in July we had another one, but we had another eight of them. I know that board member Larson asked at the time whether we do any compliance checkups on that or anything on that order. I just wanted to let the board know that, yeah, we attempted to do that this year. We made compliance checks on five of the water rights of those eight remaining ones, and none of them were irrigating this year. The other three were such that we couldn't get ready access by a road or anything like that. And again, we do it when somebody's out in the field. So not a perfect record of compliance, but I just wanted to make the board aware that we are trying to follow up on those suspensions as well. Over the past year, the board has become real familiar with the Rockerville issue and some of the crystalline rock applications that we've got there. First thing I'll say is I think at the May meeting I indicated under testimony that we were looking or trying to get an observation well drilled in the Rockerville area. I would tell you we've not been successful on that to this point, but it is still something that we are trying to work towards and get a driller on as well. Also at the May meeting, the petitioner to Big Mountain Cabins at the conclusion of the hearing handed basically a letter, a complaint to then Chairman Huttmacher and myself, basically outlining his perceived permitting issues out there. I just want to let the board know that we followed up on that, and all of those businesses that he cited as not having a permit or being under permitted, we've contacted and we've gone through the permitting process with them. So all of those who are listed in that are now permitted out there. The one outlying one was one of the issues he brought up were two existing permits that weren't in the right name, and then he questioned the validity of that. I would tell the board that we're still working through that process on those, but I just want to let the board know what we've done there as follow-up to those issues. The final issue that I'll bring up is some staffing issues, just for your information. In July, we had a new engineer, Lindsay Cederberg, that started with us. She was seated out here with our secretary, Vicki Mayberry, as well, so we're excited, and she's been doing a great job for us so far. On the downside of that, we had two engineers that have left us. Timothy Magstad, you've been familiar with him doing a couple of contested cases before you. He left to move to Washington, like, to be in the same zip code as his wife, I guess what I say. So his wife had a job out there. And then also John Farmer, who hasn't been before this board recently, but has been, decided that to move back to the Minnesota area and things on that order. We've been basically posting those jobs out there. I would tell you, like everyone else here, we're having problems getting applicants. So with that, I'll answer any questions the board may have.
Mr. Chairman, I would have a question.
Mr. Huttmacher.
Eric, those recorders that you have over in the Tulare, do they run off cell phone service? Is that what they run off of? Or how do they?
If Adam was in the room, Adam Mathewitz, I'd have him answer that. I don't know that he still is. I believe we have to go and download them.
Okay. I didn't know if they were real time on a cell line or
no,
what they were.
No, we are actually having to go over there possibly once a month, and basically download that data. We've dedicated a Surface Pro for that purpose.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from board members? Eric, thank you. We appreciate it. The next item on our agenda is going to be the public comment period. And before I do that, I'm wondering if I could get a list of the people that signed up to make comments. Do we have that, Ron? Okay. What we're going to do, it looks like we've got, oh, somewhere between 20 and 25 people that may want to make comments during this public comment period. And as you well know, under State Statute 125-1, this is open to public comment. But I'm going to limit people to not approximately three minutes. Let's limit it to 3 minutes, because otherwise we're just going to get beyond the time that we have put together here to do the kinds of things that are on our agenda. So it looks like we have 23 people. So at about 3 minutes, that's, you know, right around an hour, plus or minus. Have we got any kind of tracking device here to keep, to a little alarm device to keep it at 3 minutes? And I would ask, you know, would you please be courteous of your, you know, all the people around you, and consider 3 minutes just that? Let's stick with 3 minutes. And I've also got one other comment that I can't force you to do this, but I can ask you. If you're an intervener in this case, we have the 1045 item. If you're an intervener in that particular case, would you please, I can't stop you again, but I would ask that maybe you would reserve your comments until the 1045 hearing. Otherwise, again, we're going to get a lot of duplication. And let's try and avoid that. Before we get started, I'd like to introduce Senator Duvall. Senator, thank you for being here again today. She watches over us and makes sure we do the right thing, and we certainly appreciate it. So, with that, oh, okay, that's one other item that Mr. Huttmacher reminded me. There is no public record, by the way, on your public comments. So, to make a comment, I would ask that you, I'll read off your name here as long as I can read it. I will have you come up to the front desk, I'll give you 3 minutes, and then please abide by that 3 minutes so I don't have to be banging with this thing. And first person I have on the list is Karen Lehrman. Is that correct?
It is.
Okay. Okay, well, we've got a little timer going here, and we'll let you know.
All right. I'm going to do this so you can hear me.
Okay. Can you turn that on?
Okay, thank
you. There we go. Thank you.
My name is Karen Lehrman. I live in Hot Springs, South Dakota. Since moving to Hot Springs 6 years ago, I learned about the foreign company PowerTech's desire to obtain permits to begin uranium mining. I've attended two federal hearings regarding this issue, both with 98% opposition, and here we are. I just want to make it clear, I know that's not why we're here today, that I oppose any permits be granted to PowerTech. And as I said, that's not why we're here today. I am grateful for this opportunity to speak. My husband and I drove 224 miles to ask this board to deny the start of any further water permit hearings for PowerTech. Since all the federal permits have not been granted, we should not be wasting our taxpayer dollars to start a hearing. I'm also asking for you to create a process of reopening the interveners list for this case. I'm aware of at least 13 people that were former interveners who have passed away, and many whom were friends. In addition, out of the over 300 people that were on the original interveners list, many of them have moved away. I consider Hot Springs my permanent home, and my livelihood would be directly affected if these permits were to be granted. So since I wasn't here when the original sign-up of the for interveners was created, that's why I'm asking this board open up a process to allow us to take the place of the people that are no longer here. Finally, I just wanted to make mention that in talking to many of the interveners who weren't able to come today, one common concern I heard was that they've been here before numerous times and they feel like the decision is already made and their voices don't matter. And I found that very, very sad. I wholeheartedly pray that this is not the case and that our individual voices and our democracies do still matter. Please listen to all the people that have come here today with an open heart and mind, people who care about clean water, the environment, their livelihoods, and the future generations. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lehrman. You must have practiced that. You were 7 seconds off. Next on the list is Randy Llewellyn. Is that correct?
That is correct.
It will be extremely difficult for me to stay 3 minutes. Thank you for giving us an opportunity today to speak. I've attended most, if not all, the hearings regarding PowerTech. I live in Fall River County. My name is Randy Llewellyn. I forgot to say that. Throughout the hearings, it has been overwhelming that the people of Fall River County are against this operation. And rightly so. We've had uranium mining in our county before. It was a boondoggle. The taxpayers ended up cleaning up the mess, and here we are again. In the hearings that took place, they gave their proposal. Overwhelming people were against it. They came back with a second proposal, which had less oversight, less testing, less regulation, and I know because I read it. And you can watch those hearings where I actually pinpointed every one of those where they came back with less. They still don't have their permits, and here we are, they're asking for their water permit. They need this water to make this operation happen. Without it, it won't happen. They're premature in asking for it, but if you're going to listen to them, I'm asking that you reject it, and that will end this once and for all, because there's no guarantee about what they're saying about the safety of this operation. You're dealing with our water. It's corporately owned, and this is in the best interest of our people not to have this. Keep in mind also that this is the Chinese government, under the corporate veil of Canadian corporation, mining on our soil. It's not for our best interest. It's not for national security. It's not for making our bombs or generating our electricity. It is not. I highly recommend and ask you to reject any water permit and end this once and for all. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next up, Rodney Knutson.
I've been opposed to nuclear energy for a long time. I live within 30 miles of a in-situ uranium mine in Hewlett, Wyoming. Made presentations before the I have a degree in physics and chemistry from the University of Minnesota, Wyoming, and So I have some interest in the subject and some knowledge. I'm not an expert. Anyway, I oppose PowerTech's motion to restart hearings and their attempt to amend the procedures by circumventing the federal protocols by going directly to the state agencies. When we have such hearings are conducted, I would recommend that they be held close to the population most affected by the outcome of such hearings. Anyway, dear sir, as I printed off the 151-page EPA summation entitled Draft Cumulative Effects Analysis of the Dewey-Burdock Uranium In-Situ Recovery Underground Injection Control Area Permits, and took most of the day to read it because I wanted to be as fair as I could about the process. The report painted a rather benign picture of the mining process, ending with kudos for the small carbon footprint left by the power plants to produce electricity from enriched uranium. And there is a role, of course, for nuclear plants in making up for the lapses in wind power and solar power, but that is being made up by battery farms and so forth. In any case, the entire nuclear industry has left behind a toxic nightmare that has to be dealt with and has been systematically ignored and made the responsibility of future generations. We have to address that. With regard to in-situ uranium mining operations, many people might be concerned that sedimentation ponds and so forth are do not in the end take care of the nuclear waste that generated in the in-situ uranium mining process, and that there's possibilities for contamination of insects and then birds, and then entering the whole thing could enter the food chain we benefit from. In any case, the in-situ uranium process involves injection of waste into the aquifer that is being mined. And when the what time is it?
Mr. Knutson, that's 3 minutes.
I'm over?
You are. Thank you for your time.
Anyway, it's just, I feel that it's an industry that's basically placing us in a situation where the end result is going to be very bad for future generations, and we need to accept the responsibility.
Thank you for your time and your comments. Is it Miana, Faye?
Good morning. I am from the Oglala Lakota Nation and Northern Cheyenne Nations, and for a long time, for many generations, our people have opposed gold mining and uranium mining in the Black Hills, which is sacred lands to us, treaty lands of the 1868 Fort Laramie Treaty, and we say no, very strong no, for not just us, but for future generations, so we can maintain healthy balance of the natural elements on the earth. Thank you for your time and consideration. I really appreciate this. And I want to end with closing in my language. Dona anahumta nakagi lila pilamayaye mopila tanka.
Thank you, Ms. Faye. Oscar Hayalk.
Uh, Mataki up here. Chante was staying up here. Cheese up a little. My name is Oscar Hayok. I am from the Lakota Nation. I descend from the Itazipcho Hohoju, the Oinupa of the Ditoan bands, a tribal member of the CRST. I live in the community of Pajitawakpa Treaty Territory. Our people are also known in a political term called the Great Sioux Nation, who smoked a chinupa, a pipe, to make sacred contracts, also known as treaties, with the United States government. In 1868 and 1851, treaties are legal, binding, valid, and sacred contracts and need to be respected and honored. Treaties are supreme law of the land in Article 6 of the United States Constitution. PowerTech Azarga is a foreign Canadian company. PowerTech Azarga did not come to the Great Sioux Nation for their consent to drill for uranium in our sacred Black Hills. The Black Hills are sacred to us. Show me or us proof in black and white where they got our permission or consent. Under Article 12 of the 1868 treaty, you are to have 3/4 adult male consent. Produce your proof if you have consent from all Sioux Nation peoples and allies that signed the 1851 treaty. There's other ways to get renewable energy that doesn't threaten the water. There's still radiation leaking from previous drilling in our sacred Black Hills and hasn't been cleaned up yet. To the Water Management Board, we are asking you to make a fair decision today and not grant them a water permit. Honor the treaties, stop the uranium mining in the Black Hills. We love you all. Mataki wasi.
Thank you, Mr. Hayok. Ron, can you help me out here? I'm going to jump to at least one of the people that's online that would like to make a comment.
Okay, if you're online, you'll need to unmute your microphone and go ahead. All I've got is phone numbers. So.
And you have 3 minutes. To anyone out there that wishes to make a comment online?
*6 on your phone should unmute you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
My name's Jason Scheld. It's incredibly difficult to talk on these things in such a short time period. I have relatives from many different places and many different cultures. I'm proud to say that includes the Oglala Nation. So I think my motivations are very clear, although I could spend much time talking about the reasons why. I think we should consider all of these things very strongly. I like to look at them very simply because this is ultimately a very simple moral decision. We are informed by our relatives and our histories that these kind of conflicts are not at all new. Many of these things that we will discuss or are discussing now have been discussed before, and along with those discussions have came great responsibilities and great suffering for many. So I won't dwell on that. I'm sure that anyone that wishes to look into these things with an open mind will realize the kind of challenges that come along with these kind of discussions. So let's keep it simple. As a child, I learned how to swim in Lake Angostura. And even as a child that largely grew up out in nature, I was a rock hound. I was really into observation, as many of my relatives were. I can remember going up that neck of Angostura in a boat. We just kind of wanted to see what it was like. And even as a child, I recognized there was a lot of things in the water that shouldn't have been there. A lot of my relatives had a lot of questions whether a child was really right in understanding there was something wrong in this watershed. And years later, somewhat ironically, to hear the School of Mines come out and confirm what I as a child was afraid of, that I was seeing on that river, to me, it's really triggering and insulting that we were even considering this, that we're even considering reopening this. Look into our family histories. Look into the ways the propaganda and the fights have torn apart communities. Look in the ways that we are challenged to find water today. I thought it was kind of interesting to hear it mentioned that we dodged a bullet with water, considering the concerns we had over KXL, a project that was also stopped because they tried to go around the right ways and go around the legal precedent set for such projects. So if anything, I would say to you, we've got a lot of challenges in our communities, and the last thing we should be doing is even considering a project like this. Thank you. Talk to you.
Thank you, Mr. Schell. Alex Dotson, is it Dotson?
Yes.
Hello, everyone. I just want to say I'm opposed to this uranium mine getting another hearing of other water permits and stuff, because there's overwhelming opposition to it. Everywhere I've looked into this thing, I haven't found any locals that really support it. Through this hearing, I haven't heard anybody supporting it. And this has been going on for too long, and it's make me wonder, why is it going on so long? Like, this is a simple issue, a moral issue, right? You know, and so I'm asking you today to honor the treaties, honor the Lakota's land. This is their sacred land, and y'all did not have permission. PowerTech did not have permission from any of them, or three quarters especially. And by pumping it back in the water into the aquifer, that's just not a good idea. You know, it's like, sure, it's out of sight, out of mind. You know, it looks good from the surface, but when you look down the line, future generations, that we might need that water one day, and it's going to be contaminated, right? You know, there's previous uranium mines that have all ended pretty disastrously over there. They had a refining thing in Edgemont that turned out into a disaster. They're saying that they're going to ship it to Colorado to get it refined. Well, that's another disaster waiting to happen on the train tracks, right? You know, if one of them get derailed, it could go off in a community somewhere. And so I was just going to ask y'all to listen to all these people talking and hear where they're coming from and make a fair judgment on this decision for a water permit. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dotson. Sherilyn Leach Valades.
Good morning. My name is Sherilyn Leach Valades. It's not very fancy. I was born in Custer. I was raised in Hot Springs. My aunt and uncle lived in Edgemont. My husband's grandparents raised 8 children in Edgemont. And as an aside, my dad, Lloyd Leach, and my 2 uncles, Clyde Leach and Elton Leach, helped build Mount Rushmore. I realize that's controversial in some circles, but I bring this up because every South Dakotan in this room loves this state, and we love our land, and we want to keep it free of contamination. I spent a lot of time in Edgemont visiting family, and it's beautiful, and we would like to keep it that way. I want to thank the board. I, too, have problems with this, not in a drought situation. My cousin lives in Rapid City, and her house came within 1 mile of this Auburn fire. She would be the first to say there's a drought out there. I oppose to restarting the permit process, as there's way too many unknown variables. It is inevitable that the pumps and pipes will fail. I think the Keystone Project in North Dakota has proven that. There's too many unanswered questions. Is this monitored by computers? Is it going to be monitored faced right on site 24/7? How long would it take to fix a problem? The landowners will take the brunt of the spills, the leaks, the failures to report problems, even falsification of records, because let's face it, PowerTech does not have a great track record. This proposal only benefits the chairman. the company members, shareholders, the suits. It does not benefit any of the local people. PowerTech proposes to appropriate over 9,000 gallons, total gallons, per minute of water from two underground aquifers. These aquifers supply water to Fall River and Custer counties. Rapid City uses 6,500 gallons of water per minute, which is less by over 2,000 gallons than what PowerTech is proposing. In situ mining extracts arsenic, silicon, radium, and lead. This is what the ranchers will have to deal with. A destroyed land, the aquifers will be contaminated. Residents of two counties will have aquifers drained and with the potential of contamination. Residents of this state deserve better. We need more specific answers to this potential problem. We don't get a second chance at renewing our water source. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Jeffrey LaReeve, is it?
That's right. Just have one. They're both online.
Okay.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for allowing all of us to be here and speak about this issue. I'm not going to rehash what previous speakers have said. My concern is South Dakota has a long tradition of extraction operations that leave their mess behind, and the public is responsible for cleaning it up, if it gets cleaned up at all. I don't understand why PowerTech is going to be any different than any other past entity that has extracted uranium from Fall River County, leaving the mess behind. And long after this boondoggle is finished, the shareholders and CEO of this company will be sitting in a gated community drinking Fiji water, laughing at the suckers in Fall River County that allowed them to do this. We're being treated like a third world country that can be steamrolled with impunity, and I would urge the water board to not consider this permit at all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Let's look at another online comment. We have somebody else online ready to make a comment.
Star 6 to unmute your phone if you're online.
Please state your name. Is anybody out there?
I don't know. I'm out there. I'm sorry.
If you've got a speakers, you may want to move away from your speakers to stop that echo or turn your speakers down.
Okay. My name is Susan Watt. And thank you, Jeff LaReeve, for your comments. I, too, will oppose the water permit till the day I take my last breath. This is not a new fight. We've been opposing this, and when I heard that it was brought up again, I thought, well, that's like the little kid that wants to go play, and they think mama's not paying attention. Okay, Water Permit Board. We in Fall River County, Ogallala Tribe, everyone who lives in this southwestern corner oppose opening anything to do with water permits. This is our life. We have not forgotten that we said no. We will oppose it forever. The first time I learned about this situation, I had gotten a letter from an Arizona mining company that they wanted to put a uranium mine behind my house. We had a meeting after the Sundance in my kitchen. The Sundance family and members of the Ogallala Sioux Tribe, we began the fight. We will never say it's okay to take our water. The water belongs to the citizens of the state of South Dakota. It does not belong to any corporation to make money off of our lives here. There are more cattle and wildlife in this area of the world than there are people. But we will continue to raise our voices in opposition. We will say no. I want to close again. I am the president of the Institute of Range and American Mustang. And Dayton Hyde, our late founder, had this motto. He said, man does not have dominion over the earth. Rather, as caretakers of our fellow travelers, that means the people, the wildlife, the citizens of this part of the world. I beg you to not start this process again. It's like the little kid expecting I'm going to let him go play in the middle of the night. We say no today. We say no tomorrow. We say no continuing to infinity.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Mary Helen Peterson.
Good morning. I would just like to make the comment that I moved back from Montana to South Dakota in 2012. 2013, you heard a hearing by had a hearing with PowerTech for a certain amount of water, and you told them to come back when they got their permissions. Permits, I mean. And so we had a pandemic over there, everything shut down, and then all of a sudden they decided they wanted the water permit. And it's, I think they thought we all went to sleep during that time, or probably hoped we all died. So I suggest that you not give them the permit today and tell them to follow their instructions from you in 2013, and then we can go all about our business and wait for their next shot into our hearts. Bye.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Peterson. Jean Roach, is it Roach?
Hi, my name is Jean Roach, and I'm from the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. We oppose starting the process over again. We've been a part of this for many years, and I'm not sure what the reasoning is, but we definitely do not want our water poisoned, and because, like the people previously mentioned, it's all about money, but we're all about living and life. And every one of us drink water, so stopping this at any means is what we're going to do. And respecting the earth, that we all drink water, is reality. And because somebody's paid to be here, we're here on our own. Because in our hearts, we know that that Missouri water is polluted and going down, too. So you got to look around at the things. You know, would you drink a cup of water from the southern hills? I don't think nobody would. But I'm just telling, we oppose restarting the process over. And the previous hearings, almost nearly 100% opposed it. So does that mean that those voices are not going to be listened to? And you want to restart it over? And hopefully, what some of the people have gone on. You know, they've gone on, passed away. How can we revive their voices that have already testified against this project? So I hope that you consider that you are a human and drink water too. And you're not paid thousands of dollars to be here. And neither are we. We're just real. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Lona Knight.
I'm an enrolled member of Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, and we've been in a fight in the state over uranium mining that affects water. You know, Angostura, you can't swim in, it's dangerous, you know. Going down the river, things are happening to the fish, no vegetation. It took out lots of vegetation from mining, and there's 282 open pit mines in South Dakota, and I oppose PowerTech getting any permits to mess with our water in the state. As the livestock, the, you know, the everything, my sister is a rancher in the state, and waters, you know, all the dams are drying up, and there's just been a real, she's in fear, you know, in her business, just making a living off, you know, livestock. So I'm going to say for all the cattle people on Cheyenne River Reservation that make their living this way, you know, all these companies, corporations should not have anything to do with our in the state. So I ask you to say no to any Chinese, Canadian, wherever they're from, in other countries that destroy our land and desecrate our water and make it hard for us to live on our own land. This is treaty land that in 1851 treaty, you know, I think you have to ask permission from us. We're the owners of this land. This is our sacred land in Black Hills, you know, and everything in it. We've never been asked, and I think you need to seek permission from us. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Merle, left-hand bull. This one, please.
I'd like to greet you this morning. It means something's good this morning. And regardless, for mankind or the universe, first we say, this water's life, this water's sacred. You drink it, I drink it. We cleanse ourselves with it. The animals, four-legged, the earth, the water, elements, four-legged were here before mankind. And it was pure. There was no sickness. Over time, these contractors come in disrespecting Grandmother Earth, land of the law, because of money, not thinking about the public, not thinking about the people. So why is it going on? And we have kids, future generations, you and I. How are we going to look at these kids? Are you going to have to fight the same situation as years progress, are we going to help? Because we're not going to be here forever. So we need to leave something positive for the mankind, especially the water. And the only thing I'm asking is, whatever that comes about, let's look at the broader view and say no to what's going to come about. If we don't say no, it's going to come about anyway. Look what happened in the past. In Canada, two oil lines in Winco 1 coming through. See, that was the trickster part. Now the other one stopped. Now the other one wants to go this way. So we're caught. We don't want our kids, future generation, to be caught. This water is sacred. This water we use gives it energy, cleansing, health. Not only that, but our four-legged, you know. So I just want to ask, consider as a man, as a human, to look at this and oppose whatever is going to come through. As I got to say, ho ho, takas.
Thank you, sir, for your comments. Another individual online. Ron, did you say star six?
Yep, if you're online, you need to star six to unmute your microphone, and if you're near a speaker, you may want to step away from that as well to prevent echoing.
And let us know who you are, please. Is there someone out there online that would like to make another comment? Hearing none, we're going to move on to Lessa Peters.
Good morning. My name is Lessa Peters. I'm an enrolled member of a federal recognized tribe, Oglala Sioux Tribe. I'm here to oppose against the Power Tech. Me and my Oma were known as clergies in the Black Hills. That's where I'm from. We go to the National Cemetery. That's where we're known as clergies at. When we rejuvenate, we go to the Black Hills, specifically the Southern Black Hills. That's where the Buffalo Pastor is. So we've seen how it looked whenever that happened in the hills. We've seen how the sage was turning different colors. We've seen how it desecrated our lands. So I'm here to stand against Power Tech and ask you guys to honor the treaties and remember what the Itacha, the chief, said, as long as the grass grows and the river flows. So just thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Sarah Peterson.
I'm an interviewer.
All right. Would you like to wait then until the regular hearing? Thank you for that. Next on the list is Cheryl. Is it Angel?
Yes.
Good morning. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen. I want to ask you that you do your job and that you listen to all the voices who have come here since 2013, because this job here has a long history of opposition. Power Tech has a very short history of operation. The people here who are testifying have lived their most of their entire lives in the Black Hills. My people have never left the Black Hills. We have been there for tens of thousands of years. We know the importance of water. We know what happens when drought comes, and it's because of a lack of water. It comes because of lack of meaningful relationship with water and understanding how that affects not only the landscape, but everything that exists on that landscape. That's where drought comes from. You know that there are fires everywhere. More fires require more water. More people are moving into the Black Hills. These people need water on top of the people who are already there. Rapid Creek is a sacred living being, an extension of water. My people look at water as a sacred being. And I know you're educated. I know you are. I have faith. I have faith that you're going to do the right thing, because there are more people coming. There are more people who are going to oppose this. And this is not a done deal. We need you to care about the Black Hills and about the water as much as we do. We need you to become educated about the contamination that comes, that a mining company brings into the Black Hills, like we do. That's what we're asking here. Can you be educated well enough to say no? Will you put the concerns of the citizens ahead of the profits of a multinational mining company? Can you do that? Because we're talking about moral decisions here. This is not a business transaction that's written down on paper. This is more than that. More. And it's going to affect more people than you know. And so I don't want these hearings to happen. I don't, because you can have them if you want, but we're going to oppose them as long as the grass grows, as long as the river flows.
Thank you for your comments. Deborah Lackey Hay.
Good morning to you, gentlemen, and fellow attendees here at this meeting. My name's Deborah Lackey Hay, and I grew up in Edgemont. I'm a graduate of high school in 1974. And I've lived with this issue most of my life. I grew up in a machine shop. I grew up around sulfuric acid, which is what they use to leach the uranium out of the ground. My father died of throat cancer, and I know it was because of dealing with the fumes off this sulfuric acid. He used the equipment. He strictly followed the rules of OSHA. My father was very, very efficient on these types of things. And he still, nobody should die like he did. He suffocated to death. And also, I decided I would investigate, because it's really not understandable why we're here again with these water permits. So I decided to do a little bit of following the money. Bill Gates wants to put a nuclear reactor in Guernsey, Wyoming. And right now, what I'm afraid of, and also for you gentlemen, is we may be having a great big corporate monster showing up on our doorstep. Because not only is Bill Gates wanting to build a nuclear plant in Guernsey, Wyoming, but PowerTech is in the process of a merger with an American mining company right now. PowerTech is. It's called Ecor Energy. So PowerTech is going to merge with an American company to give up more money and power to roll over the people of South Dakota, including the state government. And there's also a lot of scandalous stuff coming out in the news about the corruption of the South Dakota government. You know, when PowerTech first started trying to get permits in the state of South Dakota, the now present Senator Mike Rounds was in on this. He was in control of assigning people who would be giving permits out to PowerTech. Plus, it came to be out in the news back then that his brother-in-law...
That's 3 minutes. Thank you for your comments.
Yes, but there's corruption that needs to be investigated in these, and I really hope you gentlemen are prepared to fight for the people of South Dakota.
Thank you. Tanya Stans.
Hello again, gentlemen. Nice to see you. I'm Tanya Stans. I'm an enrolled member of the Ogallala Sioux Tribe. And my father lives in the community of Red Shirt Table, which is right beside Cheyenne River. And he has this, we all practice our spirituality. So real quick, since I'm on time limit, get your pens and paper ready. This is case law, and this is rule. This is law. So we have inherent water rights per the Winters Doctrine, which is the Winters versus the U.S. And that means that because we're downriver on our reservations, that we have inherent water rights. And that sets precedence. The Browner versus City of Albuquerque, we have ceremonial use. So because we, and again, this brings in the 1978 Religious Freedom Act, we have the, in our sacred sites, this is upstream, so it impacts us downstream. So when we pull out of that Cheyenne River to put in that sweat lodge, then all these waste ponds and whatnot, this is, again, natural water. It's going to flow down into these river flow. And this is happening out at Crow Butte. White River is, there's leaks, excursions, and all the time. They're ponds, and when it rains, it comes down. When it snows, it comes down. There's tests proving this, and then this goes into the sacred sites, go into the National Historic Preservation Act, and so that's where it puts the SHPO. But we have, per federal law, we have TIPOs to protect us and ensure that we have these safety procedures that speak for us as people, practitioners. And again, the question here is, we have a right to talk about this and protect our rights to use for ceremonial use, which is a Supreme Court ruling in this Browner versus City of Albuquerque. You got to read up on this. The Isleta Pueblo brought this case because the Rio Grande was getting contaminated upriver and it was going into our ceremonies. And the fact of the matter is, unfortunately, none of you are religious, are spiritual practitioners. We are. The other one is with Devil's Tower. You know, they got to climb up there. The Bear Lodge Multiple Use Association versus Babbitt. Now that he took that all the way to Supreme Court ruling that he has a right for practice on what is now called Devil's Tower, but that to us that's a different name. The Black Hills Land Claim Act is, you know, the 16 tribes that are connected to the Black Hills, that's still up in the air. It was proven at Supreme Court ruling, it was proven stolen, right? So you have your rule of law, and this is a Supreme Court rule of law. We have supreme dominance up there ruling that we have ceremonial use. Okay.
Thank you so much for your information.
Just remember that the state of Virginia banned uranium. Right? Remember that. And you can do that. So do that. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your comments. Ms. Santel, are you an intervener in this case?
No.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Oh, okay.
Wish I was. Good morning. My name is Julie Santel. I live in Rapid City. I'm not an intervener. I would like to add to the request made earlier to consider opening the possibility to intervene again. 2013 was quite a long time ago. I didn't live in Rapid City at that time. Lots of others who are interested now didn't have that opportunity. So when the time comes to proceed with these cases, I would like to make that request. I would like to say that this is not the proper time to proceed. And there are several issues at the federal level that haven't been resolved. The NRC license is still under legal contestation. There are major issues to do with NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act, and the National Historic Preservation Act, related to cultural resources review. That there is a long-running court case on that, that appeals are still ongoing. It doesn't make any sense to start things at the state level when that those things remain unresolved. With the EPA, the EPA permits were issued in the middle of a global pandemic without any meaningful consultation with tribal government at all. So there hasn't been nation-to-nation consultation as required in federal law, the National Historic Preservation Act, let alone ensuring that proper permission or anything resembling consent has been granted, as you've heard from people prior to me. So, you know, the Power Tech can say they have the EPA permits. Well, that's also being contested in court, and that's also under appeal, and there are very real legal problems with those permits. The BLM permission, some of the land down there is BLM land, considered by the federal government to be BLM land. There was a public comment on the BLM permission, or permit, I suppose, but then nothing. From what we can tell, nothing has been granted by the BLM, so that's still an outstanding permission at the federal level. There's been a lot shared already about the issues with uranium mining, like was just brought up before me. The state of Virginia banned the practice entirely, which should tell you something about what, A, what's possible, and B, what other entities and jurisdictions have felt called to do based on the catastrophes that have come from this type of mining project. And then just want, as many people have said, you know, what we're talking about is treaty territory. And I just want to remind you all that treaties are not just, it's not just a Native issue. That is our responsibility as non-Native people, too. So we have responsibilities, and we are accountable to those agreements. And there simply has not been permission or consent. And there's a lot of federal issues remaining, so I would urge you not to duplicate efforts and hold off. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comments. Ron, did you get any message to your, or any response to your message of anyone else online that wants to comment? Nothing? Okay. Brenda Gamash? Okay, thank you. There you go. Thank you. Yep.
It's really an easy name, but everybody has a problem with it. I'm Deborah Weishoppel, and I'm from Hot Springs, and I've lived in South Dakota most of my life. I've lived on the east side, and I've lived on in the Black Hills. And I don't want to see Power Tech get these permits. They're not even following. They're supposed to have the other permits before they can even have this. So for them to bring it up now is totally wrong. Our state is amazing. I grew up here and stuff. And I will also say that when I was younger, the Water Board allowed a irrigation person come in, and without knowledge, all of the they approved a for him to irrigate, and what ended up happening is that all of the wells surrounding the ranchers were losing and had to redrill because he had requested so much water, and it had changed their depth thing. So I have a daughter that has a well and stuff that lives in Custer, and I sit there and think of all of the people that have that same situation, because we're talking about so much water for them to be able to do that. And I think it's a folly. It's horrible to think that our water will be contaminated because of this, and because we may not. It's just an unreal amount of money or water that should be for greed. And I'm sorry, I just can't agree with it. So that's my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Monique Musso? Can you make it through? I don't know if I can.
Good morning. Chante washte na pet shoes up. Chanupa maniwi. My American name is Monique Muffy Musso. I am from the prisoner camp known as the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, 344. I am here today. I'm a product of, and I always will stand for, the past grandfathers and grandmothers, my aunts and uncles, and the present and future generations that are all with you. And I see a lot of gray hair growing alongside your hair. I want you to understand something. I'm just hitting into the 50s, and I'm a generation you're going to see a lot of. You've already seen me up here. You're going to continue to see me. And you don't have much time left in your positions that you are and your walk on this earth. And we all know there's life and there's death. But to do the right thing is to understand your constituency, the people you serve, regardless of the color of our skin, or anybody's skin, even yours. You need to do the right thing, and I am all about each one of you. I would like to encourage you, and I stand with you in opposing giving these permits to this company, because you know what the fight is, and you're going to see more of me, so get used to it, me and my wife. That's right, I'm LGBTQ, Native American Two-Spirit, and you've seen me before, but I want you to understand something. I encourage you right now to just go along with what you're going to do, and do not give them the permits, because that's the right thing to do. There's so many things that have been talked about, but know this, we are here and we're going to fight this fight like our grandmothers and grandfathers have, right alongside with you guys as well. You've got to be encouraged to know that Native Indigenous people are more about Mother Earth. I myself am very educated. Please vote against this in opposition. Wopila.
Thank you for your comments. Gina Parkhurst. Would you please?
Yes.
Thank you. And Nancy Tryon.
Good morning. I'm Nancy Tryon from Piedmont, South Dakota. I'm a retired business owner from Rapid City. We seldom think about clean and clear water and clean air, though they are the most important things in our quality of life. The quality of clean air and clean water affects our health, our livelihood, our well-being. It affects our agriculture, which is so important in South Dakota. It affects our tourism. A friend told me about a short trip she took into the Black Hills. She talked about a beautiful day where the stream was so clear and clean that she took pictures. We could see the water. We could see the rocks clear to the bottom. This is what we're considering. We have to ask ourselves, as we see pollution in the air and the water in other states, is this something we want to be forced to deal with in South Dakota? We who live in South Dakota know family, friends, or communities who have been exposed to uranium and are even now sick because of the uranium mining in Edgemont, South Dakota, which started in 1951. Wikipedia states that out of 50 present and former uranium milling sites in 12 states, 24 have been abandoned and are the responsibility of the U.S. Department of Energy. This means that all taxpaying citizens in South Dakota and the nation have had to pay extra taxes because companies closed the mines and walked off. We don't want this in our state. Pollution that would spread to many adjoining states through the water and air. We don't want this for our Black Hills. I have one statistic. Someone in this group had stated, article by AP, mining companies moving ahead with South Dakota projects from May. They stated that 9,000 gallons per minute from two underground aquifers, 9,000 gallons per minute. I've worked in accounting all my life. When I saw that number, it frightened me. That would be per year, 1 year, 4,730,400,000 gallons per year. Can we afford that for 16 years? Do we have that kind of water supply? Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Yes.
And I'd like to thank all of you for complying with the time schedule that we had set up. Let's take about 5 minutes for a bio break here, and we'll get back at the agenda.
Thank you.
Back to order, please.
Do you have more public comment?
One.
Okay, I'll wait.
We're going to wait just 4 minutes.
I missed one person. Oops. Excuse me, I missed one person on the list. As far as public comments, we're going to do one more. She said she would be brief, Carol Hayes.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to address you all. I wanted to underline the fact, as principals in this state, you all know that our primary sources of income are agriculture and tourism. And as a water board, I expect you to take to heart the fact to protect these industries, to protect all of the individuals involved in these industries. I'm from Lawrence County, where the home state mine is, but mining is only 3% of the economy of Lawrence County and is 1% of Pennington County and something like that in Fall River and Custer counties as well. Mining is a minute percentage of our economy, but agriculture and tourism are in the billions. You are charged with protecting our agriculture and protecting our tourism. And in order to protect agriculture, you absolutely have to deny these requests to deplete and pollute the water that the ranchers in western South Dakota and all the way across the state, use. So I just want to also say I'm in Lawrence County where we have the Brome Mine. You may know your staff here took us on a tour. The Brome Mine is costing the feds $20 million a year. It is costing the cleanup of this dead mine. It's costing the feds $20 million a year, and the state of South Dakota, we taxpayers have to pay 10% of that. Pretty soon, within the next decade, the taxpayers in South Dakota will have to pick up the entire cost of that Superfund site. Okay, we have no reason, based on the mining industry history, we have no reason to think that mining operations will behave responsibly. But even if they could, there has never been an in situ leach mine that has restored the water to its previous condition of purity. And my final point is that you all should be aware that this PowerTech request, this PowerTech mine should be established, is not the only mining request in the Black Hills that should shock you. There is a company from Minneapolis who is attempting to, who is exploring in order to establish, for someone to establish a mine right down to the shore of Pactola, right down to the shore. Jenny Gulch, Sunnyside Gulch, I hope some of you know the Black Hills. These are shocking requests. There are other mines actually operating, explorations operating in the Black Hills that obviously hope to establish mines. So again, please protect our most robust industries, mining and tourism, and deny these PowerTech requests.
Thank you for your comments. Moving on then on the agenda, first of all, what we'd like to do is administer the oath of office to staff at DNR.
Do each of you solemnly swear the testimony you will give today will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. Love you.
Thank you, Carla. Moving on to cancellation considerations, Mr. Duval.
Good morning. In your board packets, you received a list of the cancellation considerations. It says cancellations at the top, October 6th. I'd also like to note we do have someone here on cancellations. John Chip Taylor would like to address the board before you take action. I think that's why he came. Just some background, though, on these cancellations that are before you today. There's one of three ways that they made it onto this list. Permits can become subject to cancellation because they were not constructed. There's a construction period at which expires, and sometimes people just don't develop. The other two reasons are abandonment. They decide they want to quit using water for whatever purpose they're using it for, or else forfeiture. A water right permit can be forfeited due to non-use. So it's been one of those three reasons is why they're on the list. Contact has been made with each and every one of these people. The recommendations and the notice to the permit holder is also part of your board packet, so if you want to see that, that is also available to you. We did not receive any comments back from any of the permit holders on any of these cancellations, and again, Mr. Taylor is here. I suspect on three very noticeable ones to this board, TransCanada, Keystone, Pipestone. So,
thank you, Ron.
If the board has any questions, I'm happy to answer them and pop up. But in accordance with the TransCanada's administrative responsibility, because President Biden revoked the permit.
Mr. Taylor, would you get that one on? Thank
there
you.
There we go. Presidential permit was revoked on January 9th, and on June 9th, TC Energy confirmed its decision with the government of Alberta to terminate the project. So accordingly, TransCanada requested permits 1986-1, 2792-2, and 2793-2 are canceled because of non-construction of the pipeline project. We got the whole gang together. Pending any questions, of course.
Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Tim.
Thanks, sir.
Appreciate it.
Any other comments, Sinrod?
That's all I have for you.
Comments from the board on the cancellations? Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Freeman. I would move to cancel the Division 1, Division 2, and Division 3 permits, vested rights, and water right permits as listed on the exhibit.
Do I hear a second?
Second by Huttmaker.
Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, Secretary, call the roll.
McComas?
Aye.
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Huttmaker?
Aye.
And York?
Aye. Motion carried. We're a little bit behind schedule, as you probably noticed, but our 10 a.m. item on the agenda is there are two things. First of all, we'll consider the future use water permit application number 8512-3 from the City of Aberdeen. Mr. Rath?
Good morning.
Ron Lager. Sorry.
This is Mark Rath. I'm a staff engineer with the Water Rights Program. Here to present two applications from the James River. The first one is application number 8512-3. It's a future use application by the City of Aberdeen. The application requested to reserve for future use 6,154 acre-feet of water from the James River at a diversion rate of 8.5 cubic feet of water per second. The South Dakota Codified Law SCCL 46-2A-10 and 46-5-38.1 lays out the criteria and conditions under which a future use permit may be approved, and in Administrative Rule 74.02.01.24.01 defines the limits in which the Water Management Board may place on a future use permit. The source of water is the James River, and it will be developed. If developed, it will be taken at a point about 10 miles northeast of Aberdeen, which is approximately 5 miles east of the city's treatment plant. The city provided to staff, as part of this application, a consultant analyst report demonstrating that the city's average annual use is expected to increase from 4,290 acre-feet as of 2017 to 6,090 acre-feet by the year 2045. Since this is a James River permit, the conditions that the Water Management Board has placed on for limits on the James River would still be in effect. Typically, on our future use, we would only have a volume limitation, but this one actually has a diversion rate limitation, and that has to do with the board's 300 cubic feet per second limit for the entire James River diversion, and then there's a 200 from the North Dakota border down to here on where the USGS gauging station's at. So that's why the 8.5 cubic feet per second limit is requested as part of this application. If this permit is approved, there would be, of that 300 CFS limit, 1.11 cubic feet per second of the 300 CFS limit remaining. The chief engineer is recommending approval of application 8512-3 with qualifications. Is there any questions?
Questions from the board? No questions. Hearing no questions, we're going to
You want to vote on these?
One second. I understand that the attorney for the city of Aberdeen is online. I don't know if they want to address.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. This is Ron Wager. I'm the city attorney for Aberdeen. Sitting with me here is Bob Brown, our water treatment superintendent. We just wanted to be in, and we're available if there were any questions from any board members.
Any questions from the board? Want to take a vote on these individually then?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do it that way. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Hutnicker, I would make the motion to approve the future use permit for Aberdeen as stated, application 8512-3.
Oldsmar seconds.
Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, call the roll, please.
Thomas?
Aye.
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Hutmaker?
Aye.
York?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you, those of you from Aberdeen. Appreciate you being online.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Next item that we had.
Okay, next item is application number 8523-3. Nick and Scott Bebo filed water permit application 8523 to appropriate 1.10 cubic feet of water per second from the James River between points in a section which is roughly 5 miles northeast of the town of Redfield. So it'd be south of Aberdeen, but north of Huron. The applicants currently hold water right number 1172-3, authorizing 1.5 cubic feet per second from the James River to irrigate 105.4 acres. This application, if approved, and water right number 1172-3 combined would authorize a total of 2.60 cubic feet per second and irrigate a total of 260 acres. Again, the source of water for this application is the James River, and the 300 CFS limit still would apply for this. If this application is approved, there would be 0.01 CFS. So we'd be right below that 300 CFS limit. And essentially, we'd be up against it. The one factor that kind of comes into it, since you've just approved the future use, that water can actually be appropriated on a temporary basis. So if somebody were to come in for a permit, say to irrigate something, the board could approve that as a temporary permit, but there would be a subject to if the city of Aberdeen were to appropriate water from there to future use, then we would have to notify that the temporary, that they potentially would be cut off. And I think it's a 6-month notice we have to get. But anyway, for this one, the chief engineer is recommending approval of application number 8523-3 with qualifications.
Is there anyone online that wishes to speak on this issue?
I have not heard anyone.
Okay. Questions from the board? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Freeman. I would move approval of application 8523-3, subject to the qualifications set forth by the chief engineer.
Do I hear a second?
Second, Mr. Chairman.
Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, call the roll, please.
Thomas?
Aye.
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Hutmaker?
Aye.
And York?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Raff.
You know, I think what we're going to do is get started on the 10:20 to the 10:45 agenda item, and instead of breaking for lunch right away, if that works for everybody. So what we're going to do is, this is a little different than what we've done on past hearings, but What we have on the agenda is to consider motions and responses concerning recommencement of a contested case hearing for the consolidated case in the matter of water permit applications number 2685-2 and 2686-2 and the groundwater discharge plan GWD 1-13 from PowerTech USA Inc. What I'd like to do is do this in three phases, a little bit different. We're going to have the applicant present their motion first, then we will have the state present their motion, and then we will have the interveners present their comments, information. And we don't have, like we did on the public comment period, there aren't any time limits for these kinds of things. So are there any questions then from anyone in the audience or how we're going to run this? There's not going to be any witnesses. There's not going to be any rebuttal testimony. It'll be simply providing, pardon me?
Just
oral arguments in the case. Mr. Knotts.
You have some questions. Matt Knotts with PowerTech. PowerTech, as it is its motion, would like the opportunity to rebut any oral argument presented by either the state or the interveners following the argument of the interveners.
Briefly. Yes. We're going to do that. It's a consideration, a different consideration, but I think we need to have that. It'll be brief.
It will be brief.
Mr. Ellison.
Mr. Chairman.
Could I just say something? Sorry to interrupt. What Matt's saying to Mr. Ellison, nobody's hearing that online unless they're talking into a microphone, just so you know.
Thank you, Ron. I was going to ask for a repeat.
Mr. Knotts, would you come up and ask your question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Applicant PowerTech USA would request an opportunity to rebut oral argument provided by both the state and by the interveners following the argument of the interveners.
Okay, and that's accepted, and it's going to have to be brief. Otherwise, we'll be here for days.
Hopefully, I won't have to do it at all, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Ellison?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Should there be something that is brought up new on the reply by PowerTech, Clean Water Alliance would ask leave of the board for a brief response. If nothing new is brought up, we don't intend to rehash anything that's already been discussed.
Again, briefly.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So, to begin the hearing, Mr. Knotts, representing, first of all, before I do that, let's do appearances and of counsel for this hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Matt Knotts and Rich Williams for applicant PowerTech USA.
Ann Mines Bailey on behalf of the Chief Engineer and the Groundwater Discharge Plan.
Bruce Ellison on behalf of the Clean Water Alliance.
It's a little cumbersome. Any other counsel?
Steve Gunn.
Steve.
Good afternoon. This is Steve Gunn for the Oglala Sioux Tribe.
Thank you, Mr. Gunn.
Thank you.
Any other counsel then in attendance?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. This is Tom Belanco.
We're first going to have the applicant will provide their motion first, then the state will provide their motion, and following that will be the interveners. Okay?
Mr. Chairman, this is Board Member Comas.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I will not be able to participate in this agenda item.
I understand that. Thank you, Chad.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Okay, is that enough for preliminaries, or should we, Mr. Knotts? representing PowerTech. Thank you.
What, excuse me, just one moment from the comment of, I believe, one of our new board members. If there is a reason such as a conflict as to why, I think the record needs to be there as to why this board member cannot participate, unless this is a saying that whenever these proceedings started, that board member will not be a participant. I just think it raised a question that I think needs to have a little bit further record as to why we will be short one board member who feels he cannot participate.
Mr. Comas, are you still on the line?
Yes, sir. I have some conflicts that I'm not able to participate in. There is not a, it's a time conflict. It has no fiscal or other conflict related to matters of the board.
Sufficient?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Matt Noss for PowerTech USA, the applicant in these three consolidated matters. PowerTech USA is here today to request that this board restart the contested case proceedings that were continued in 2013. In 2012, PowerTech submitted applications for two water right permits and one groundwater surface discharge permit in connection with the proposed in situ uranium mining operation in the southwest corner of South Dakota called the Dewey Burdock Project. These three permits were consolidated for hearing. After several days of hearing, PowerTech filed a motion to continue the matters until such time as federal permits were issued from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and the Environmental Protection Agency. PowerTech filed its motion to narrow the issues before this board so that this board would not have to revisit issues addressed at the federal level. Those permits have now been issued, and PowerTech respectfully requests the opportunity to proceed with the contested case and present its applications to this board. Currently, as you're going to hear a lot about, the federal permits have been appealed. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission's license is appealed to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, the Environmental Protection Agency. The UIC permits provided by the Environmental Protection Agency, underground injection control permits, are on appeal as well, as is the aquifer exemption permit. However, these permits have been issued. They are in final form. They can be read. They can be identified. They identify the issues addressed by at the federal level and therefore allow this board to identify which issues it does not need to reconsider. Additionally, the financial assurances have been set by the various federal agencies, which was another question that arose during the 2013 proceedings. Very briefly, we're not here to discuss the merits of PowerTech's applications. We're not here to ask this board to grant either the water permit applications or the groundwater surface discharge permits. However, I think it is important that we take just a second to look at one issue that has been raised already today during public comment, and that is the volume of water requested in association with the various water permits, specifically the Indian Cara permit, application 2686-2. There was some suggestion that PowerTech is requesting 9,000 gallons per minute of water, and while that is the number on the application, as noted by Ken Bueller, then engineer, in his report to the chief engineer, 98% of that requested appropriation will be recirculated, resulting in a net consumptive amount of about 2% of that 9,000 gallons per minute as listed in the application.
Lakota Oyate, say no.
No.
You are not allowed in Black Hills.
Mr. Knox.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, PowerTech is here to ask this board recommence the contested case proceedings. As applicant, it asked this board to continue the proceedings until such time as the federal permits were issued. Those permits have been issued. PowerTech is now asking this board for PowerTech's opportunity to present its case and be heard and have its case presented and decided on the merits. As noted by the Water Rights Program in their briefing on the issue, there's no legal impediment There's no legal restriction from this board considering these applications at this time. I think it's fair to say that restarting these proceedings right now won't be the easy thing to do, but it is the right thing to do. PowerTech should have the opportunity, like every other applicant, for surface water discharge permit or a water appropriation permit, to have its application heard by this board, to have the relevant testimony of interveners heard by this board, and for PowerTech's application to be decided upon on the merits by this board. I want to talk a little briefly about where we came from. Prior to the 2013 hearing on these matters, a procedural order was entered. The procedural order contained dates for completion of discovery, designation and disclosure of expert witnesses and expert reports, disclosure of witnesses, disclosure of exhibits, and it also described how the process would proceed. The disclosure deadlines have all passed. The Class B interveners who were allowed to testify, I believe, for 15 minutes and then be subject to cross-examination, have all testified. The applicant, PowerTech, called one witness. His direct testimony was provided, and cross-examination started. In order to restart these proceedings, PowerTech respectfully requests that this board consider its March 2022 regularly scheduled meeting as an appropriate time to recommence the proceedings and to hold the first round of hearings. As we put forth in our motion, what we're suggesting and requesting is that the procedural order be amended such that after a date for recommencing the hearings is scheduled, the procedural order, the same dates that were included in the original procedural order, which happened to be 45 days typically from the beginning of the hearing for such things as conclusion of discovery, disclosure of expert witnesses, that those dates, those number of dates, be applied to a current date as scheduled by this board. If we were to use March 8, for example, as a starting date, the procedural order could be amended to allow for discovery responses to be supplemented 45 days prior to the beginning of the hearing, or January 21, 2022. Additionally, the 45 dates would apply to an update of expert disclosures, including any updated reports from expert witnesses. Pursuant to the timeframes in the original procedural order, witness lists could also be updated 20 days prior to the March 8 hearing, which would be by February 16th. PowerTech believes that this date in March of 2022 would provide both the applicant itself as well as the interveners and DANR an adequate time to supplement discovery, supplement its witness lists. 2013 was a long time ago, 8 years ago. Witness lists, exhibit lists, those types of things may likely need to be supplemented. The March 8 date gives the opportunity to do that. In their response to our motion to amend the procedural order, DANR requested that 90 days be given between the time which the board sets a hearing date, enters a procedural order, and I believe the way they phrased it was that the report of the chief engineer and the recommendation be allowed to be updated. From today's date until January 21, there is right at 107 days. We believe that that is adequate time for DANR, as they've requested, to update whatever information they need to update in their report to the chief engineer and in their recommendation, and provide those to the parties in connection with the rest of the expert disclosures in the matter. It can't be overlooked that PowerTech originally filed its motion for a status conference in this matter in April of 2021. It's been 6 months, roughly, between that date and today. PowerTech's request comes as no surprise to anybody in this room. We've all known where this is headed. We've all had the opportunity to take a look at witness lists, expert disclosures, and get a sense at least of what will need to happen in order to restart these proceedings. I'd like to talk for a moment about prejudice. PowerTech finds itself in a classic catch-22 position. As we've discussed at the federal level, the permits are on appeal. At that level, in briefing, both agency and interveners point to the fact that further delays at the federal level won't prejudice PowerTech because they don't have their state permits. When PowerTech filed its motion to amend its procedural order here, we're met with, there's no prejudice to PowerTech because they don't have their federal permits. As I said before, it's not the easy thing to do, but it's the right thing to do, not to trap PowerTech in that catch-22 where it can't move forward. It's unable to move forward because everyone is pointing the finger the other direction and saying that PowerTech's not getting hurt by anyone. In fact, as we included in our briefing, the Board of Minerals and Environment, to whom PowerTech also filed an application for a large-scale mining permit in the 2012-2013 timeframe, has entered an order indicating that it won't be able, it's not going to consider PowerTech's large-scale mining permit application until such time as this board addresses the appropriation issues. This is the first step in PowerTech's state proceedings, state permitting process. Armed with a decision from this board on the relevant evidence and on the merits, PowerTech can then go before the Board of Minerals and Environment and have its large-scale mining permit application heard. With both the South Dakota Water Management Board's permits and the South Dakota Board of Minerals and Environment's large-scale mining permits, PowerTech can, in fact, proceed with pre-operation activities on the ground at the Dewey Burdock project.
Protect the land, united we stand. Protect the land, united we stand. Shut it down, shut it down.
If any of this type of thing continues in the future, I'm going to have to clear this room. We're not going to put up with this in this kind of hearing. Is that understood? Just a second, Matt. Okay, Mr. Noss, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, PowerTech is before you to request that these proceedings be recommenced. PowerTech has completed its application. The Water Rights Program has found no deficiency with the application itself. A recommendation of the Chief Engineer has been made pursuant to state statute. Then the next step in the process is a hearing before this board on the merits. PowerTech is not here before this board to rehash the issues addressed in the federal permitting. What we are here to request is permits from this board based on the statutory criteria and statutory elements for both water appropriations and a groundwater discharge permit. PowerTech, as an applicant, has a right to have its application considered in a timely fashion by this board to allow it to move forward with the remainder of its permitting processes. Again, we're not here today to talk about the merits of the application. We're not asking that any permits be granted, denied, or otherwise. But we're asking that PowerTech be granted an opportunity to have its applications heard. You know, one thing I thought was interesting at the public comments this morning was more than one individual requested that this board deny this motion to recommence these proceedings so that this issue could be decided once and for all. The only way to decide these applications once and for all is to allow PowerTech to have an opportunity to present witnesses and evidence to you that's relevant to the subject matter this board is tasked with determining, and allowing all interveners and the state to present its evidence, its relevant evidence, and then make a determination on the merits. That's the way that these applications are handled once and for all. It might not be the easy thing to do, and we understand that, and PowerTech intends to work as cooperatively as possible with the state and with this board to move these matters forward. But PowerTech needs to have the opportunity to move these matters forward, and PowerTech has a right to have these applications moved forward. I'd be happy to address any questions.
Mr. Noss, I think what we're going to do is have you stand by. And we'll hold questions until we've heard all of the parties. So if you'd be willing to do that.
Absolutely.
All righty.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Ms. Mines Bailey for the state of South Dakota.
Ann Mines Bailey on behalf of the Chief Engineer and the Groundwater Discharge Program. Mr. Chair, may I ask a clarifying question? Do you want me to address just the question of whether this hearing, this evidentiary hearing, should resume at this time, or would you like me to also go into the actual scheduling issues that DNR, or I'm sorry, the programs perceive?
We'll deal with the scheduling
later.
After, yeah. Let's just go through the reopening recommencement.
Thank you. So as the board is aware and has heard, in November of 2013, PowerTech requested a continuance of this matter so that it could seek or obtain, however you'd like to state it, those federal permits. There are several federal permits that they need to obtain. One is the materials license from the NRC. They need to obtain from the EPA Class 3 and Class 5 well permits, as well as an aquifer exemption. And they also need a program approval or a plan of operations approval from the BLM. I understand from PowerTech's pleadings that that's not something that they consider essential to their program. I mention it only because it is one of the federal agencies that they were approaching and seeking either permission or a permit from. Just as it was in 2013, it is within the board's discretion to determine whether or not a motion to continue should be granted or denied. In granting that order, the board did not divest itself of any authority or jurisdiction over this matter. Thus, it remains within the board's jurisdiction to determine whether or not that continuance should continue or if the hearing should resume at this time. So the specific order, there's a lot of talk in the briefing that's been submitted about the wording of the order. And the specific order provides that the hearings continued until such time as the federal permits are resolved. We respectfully disagree with PowerTech and its attorneys as to whether or not those federal permits have been resolved. The NRC has issued its permits. Those permits are under appeal before the Court of Appeals of the District of Columbia. That matter has been fully briefed and is now set for oral argument before the Court of Appeals on November 9. There is no date certain for when the Court of Appeals would hand down an opinion. So it could be weeks, it could be months, it could be longer. We just don't have any indication as to how long it will take the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia to rule. And that particular proceeding, all the others seem to hinge on. I do believe it's important to note with regard to the NRC permits that those NRC, that materials license was initially issued in 2014. It went through an appeals process and was eventually remanded to the NRC for further proceedings. And it's that subsequent license that is now on appeal. To me, that's important to note just because it shows that just because a permit's been issued, it doesn't mean it's final. I want the board to be well aware when it makes these decisions of the other moving parts. So then the other permits that they needed to get or permissions, they need from the EPA an aquifer exemption. That was granted in November of 2020. That is on appeal to the Circuit Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. The Eighth Circuit is holding that case in abeyance until such time as the Class 3 and the Class 5 well permits have been resolved. So the Class 5 and the Class 3 permits are in the EPA process. The EPA has issued those permits, but the EPA provides for different levels of review within the agency, and one of those levels of review is with the Environmental Appeals Board. The EAB now has those permits, and the EAB is holding off on making a decision until such time as the Court of Appeals with the District of Columbia has ruled on the NRC licensing, because there are similar issues. So, again, we have no idea when the District of Columbia Court of Appeals will actually hand down a decision, and these other matters kind of hang in the balance while that decision is pending. Then there's also the BLM approval. The BLM took comment, I believe, in August of 2020, and there is no indication that I was able to locate as to where that is in the process. I do understand from PowerTech's pleadings, though, that is not a considered an essential portion of their plan and their permitting process. Now, having that background, knowing where everything's at, I think to most people in this context, the word resolve would mean to have the permits in hand and to be able to commence with your operations. The plain meaning of resolve is to reach a firm decision or a determination. It's the position of the programs that has not happened yet. We don't have any certainty about, in particular, the Class 3 and the Class 5 well permits. And for that reason, because we feel that the terms of the original order haven't been met, that it would be appropriate to continue holding this case in abeyance for a little longer. But moreover, we don't think that the board is necessarily bound by the terms of that November 23, 2013 order granting the continuance. The board has an inherent authority to manage its docket. You have the ability to decide to weigh all of the interests and decide whether or not it's appropriate to proceed. PowerTech does not have that authority. PowerTech did not get that authority when you granted the continuance. And it's this board that has the duty to weigh all of the different interests and make the decision as to whether or not now is the time to proceed. Prior to PowerTech's motion to continue, there was a motion to continue by several interveners who requested continuance on the very same grounds that the federal permits should be obtained first before we proceed with the state permits. And that motion was denied, and in my mind, rightfully so. This board has never before made it a requirement that you receive all the other permits before you come in for at least water permits. But the landscape's changed now. When PowerTech came in, though they have a right to have their application heard in a timely fashion, they consented to a delay. They did not waive their entire right to be heard, but they consented to a delay. And in doing so, they changed the landscape. We've now waited 8 years. In that 8 years, I can tell you on behalf of the programs, at least the Water Rights Program, we've got a new engineer and a new chief engineer, and the engineer who drafted the original report has retired. And so we will be essentially having to recreate a lot of the information. We do have the luxury of having those reports and recommendations to jump off of, but we have a lot of ground to cover yet. And I'm sure it's the same with many of the other parties, and including for PowerTech's attorneys. They are not the attorneys that were the originally representing PowerTech at the time. So there is a bit of catch-up. But given the fact that we have a November 9 argument before the District of Columbia Court of Appeals, and that we've waited this long, it seems that there might be an interest in efficiency that may outweigh other interests that may weigh in favor of not recommencing this hearing at this time. Because we believe, as PowerTech did back in 2013, as they asserted then, that it's appropriate to wait for the federal permits to be resolved. And we are not proposing that that be, let me restate. We believe it is in the discretion of the board to determine whether resolution means they are done at the agency level with everything they need, or if resolution means they are done with the federal appeals. That is soundly within the discretion of this board. But we believe, given the lapse of time, that it is in the interest of efficiency to wait until the federal permits have been finalized. And pursuant to my question earlier, I will wait to discuss our scheduling concerns until a later time. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Mines-Bailey. I appreciate that. I think what we'll do now is take a lunch break and then begin with the intervener's testimony at 1 o'clock. Excuse me. We've had the applicant's motion and we've had the state's motion. I would now ask interveners for testimony. Comments on the motion, excuse me. Starting with Mr. Ellison.
Where is everybody?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was going to recommend, if it was agreeable to the board, Mr. Gunn is on the phone representing the Oglala Sioux Tribe, and perhaps if they could go first. I believe they have a short presentation, and then I would be happy to follow. I also noticed that Mr. Blanco is on the phone as well. He is an attorney representing the Wild Horse Sanctuary, which is an A intervener, and just for information to the board. But with the permission of the board, I'd like to have ask that the tribe go first.
Mr. Gunn, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
We can.
Thank you.
I would ask that you go first with your testimony.
Thank you. The Oglala Sioux Tribe has a significant interest in this proceeding. The tribe is an A intervener with full rights as a party, having timely filed a petition for hearing. The water resources subject to the proposed PowerTech permits are located on and in lands within the unceded territory of the Great Sioux Nation, of which the Oglala Sioux Tribe is a constituent tribe. The Oglala Sioux Tribe has been actively engaged in working to protect its significant water, land, and cultural resources from impacts threatened by the proposed Dewey Burdock Mine since at least 2010. The Oglala Sioux Tribe agrees in principle with the arguments opposing reinitiation of any proceedings at this time, filed by both the South Dakota Attorney General's Office on behalf of the Water Rights Program and the Surface Water Quality Program, as well as the Black Hills Clean Water Alliance. The Oglala Sioux Tribe concurs that moving forward with these complex proceedings at this time would risk wasting an enormous amount of party and agency resources on proceedings dealing with permit applications that very well may be substantially altered as a result of ongoing federal, judicial, and administrative reviews of the Dewey Burdock Mine proposal. In its November 19, 2013 motion to continue, PowerTech asserted that the board's granting of the continuance, quote, will serve to significantly narrow and focus the issues before the board, end quote, primarily because the resolution of the federal permits will provide certainty as to whether and how the mine will be developed. However, because each of the four federal permits and licenses at issue are still under both administrative and federal court litigation, including as to fundamental aspects of the groundwater use and disposal, that certainty has not been achieved. Specifically, with respect to the EPA underground injection control UIC permits, in accordance with EPA regulations, those permits have been stayed and rendered ineffective pending resolution of the issues presented by the Oglala Sioux Tribe before the EPA's Internal Administrative Environmental Appeals Board, EAB. The EAB process has in turn been stayed pending resolution of the Oglala Sioux Tribe's challenge to the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, NRC, license in the U.S. Circuit Court for the District of Columbia. Regardless of how the EPA's internal administrative review through the EAB is resolved, EPA regulations require that EPA staff must take affirmative additional action before the permits can be labeled issued or effective, let alone final. The Oglala Sioux Tribe's challenge to the NRC license is scheduled for oral argument before the court on November 9, 2021. Thus, the issues are nearing resolution, and there's no need to rush this board's process when the need for focus that formed the basis of PowerTech's original motion to continue is reasonably close at hand. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gunn. And you also said Tom Blanco?
Just to notify the board that he is an attorney representing one of the parties. I'm happy to go next. I'm happy to have Mr. Blanco go next, whatever the pleasure of the board
Mr.
is.
Mr. Blanco, are you on the line?
You'll have to do *6 to unmute yourself.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. This is Tom Blanco. Yes, I'm on the line. I'm happy to let Mr. Ellison proceed or whatever the chair's pleasure.
We're going to have Mr. Ellison go first, then. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. My main point was just to allow the tribe to go first, but I thank the board for its consideration. After hearing the presentation so far, I'm almost not sure where to begin. But I think I'd like to do it this way. First of all, my name is Bruce Ellison. I am an attorney from Rapid City, and I have been representing the Clean Water Alliance, which is an intervener in these proceedings, since these matters started, I think, back in 2012, and going through the hearings in 2013. And it is with that experience that I'm going to address just a couple of points. PowerTech seemed to almost suggest that this idea of a continuance until the federal matters were done was sort of like at their discretion. That this is their idea, they get to choose, okay, we've had enough of the federal matters, we want to start the state matters. And the staff suggested that a previous motion by the interveners, including Clean Water Alliance, for a continuance had been denied. I don't quite remember the record on that latter point, but I think what is important is the interpretation by the pre-hearing examiner, Mr. Freeman, when he drafted this order in 2013. And Mr. Freeman specifically noted that all interveners recently filed submissions regarding, and I'm reading from Exhibit 2 that was submitted with PowerTech's motion for reconsideration. It is the order granting PowerTech's motion to continue of this board, which is dated the 25th of November 2013. All interveners who recently filed submit. I'm sorry, too fast, right? All interveners who recently filed submissions regarding the board's jurisdiction and authority over PowerTech's pending applications have requested that the board continue the hearing pending resolution of PowerTech's federal applications regarding the Dewey Burdock project. Intervenors' position is consistent with their previous motions to continue the hearing. Mr. Freeman then went on in his order to find first that there would be no prejudice to the parties if this were to occur. And I'm, with all due respect, I don't think we heard much in terms of prejudice from PowerTech today. But then Mr. Freeman ordered that until resolution by the federal agencies of PowerTech's pending applications, these matters are going to be stayed. Didn't say until you got a preliminary license issued. Didn't say until you got financial assurance issued. It's that on pending resolution of the federal agency's pending applications. As Mr. Gunn just pointed out, as Ms. Mines Bailey pointed out, and to some extent PowerTech agreed, the basic premises in front of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which includes the integrity of the environmental analysis, which is going to certainly be a big part of this board's decisions, is pending in front of the D.C. Court of Appeals. As was pointed out by Ms. Mines Bailey, it's already been remanded once. It could be remanded again. It could just simply be reversed, in which case we wouldn't have anything to do here. If it's remanded again, if order remanded again, it could very likely be appealed to a full en banc hearing. That process can take a half a year. If oral argument is set for November 9th, these courts are very busy. It could take 6 months to a year for a decision to come down. If it's adverse to either party, they could ask for an appeal of the full court, an en banc hearing, as it's called. That could take another 6 months or more. If that is not granted, or even if it is, it can delay things even further. If it's remanded back or not, then the other federal agencies will begin to do their work based upon what the court decides. So the NRC will then be doing its work. The EPA will then be looking at what the NRC did with regard to its environmental analysis, its cultural resource analysis. And if what we're trying to do is not duplicate what has already been done and ultimately, finally decided, so that we can limit our review to, say, what was not considered by the federal agencies or what has changed since they held hearings back years ago. I mean, in 2013, quite a number of things have changed. And I would submit that if you look at the initial application of this board and you compare it to the applications that are in front of the federal agencies, they look a little different. And how do we resolve that mess? And we don't have to deal with that now, because at least if we wait until as was ordered previously, and sure, the board has discretion to change. That's for granted, of course. The board has a lot of discretion. But it doesn't make sense. We put this off because we hope that the federal government would expend a lot of its resources and time so that we don't have to do quite as much. If we look at what has not been allowed in front of the NRC and what has come up as new, we're talking about a lot of weeks of hearings. And that's once we resolve what do the feds really decide or not. But until we have a final decision from the feds, how can we know that? How can we know what decision they made, and was it based upon sound scientific facts and principles that this board feels comfortable with in either accepting or rejecting? Don't we need their final decisions first? Then we have the whole question of the EPA, and as Ms. Mines Bailey pointed out, they have a separate process which has stayed pending the Ninth Circuit's decision. So whatever the Ninth Circuit decides, then the EPA begins administratively its process. So we're not just talking about the D.C. Circuit decision just triggers one of several different directions. Then the EPA takes over, finishes its administrative proceedings. If the BLM holdings are unimportant, says PowerTech to this board, perhaps they would move today to exclude any part of their operations where the mineral rights or the surface rights are under BLM control, and let the federal government know that, see if it's okay with them. But then at least then perhaps it wouldn't be an issue here. That if they haven't said that. They said, just disregard it because we don't think it's a big part of our project. That's not right. So the question is really is, you made a decision in 2013 to put this off until the feds were all done. As much as we would love to be here in front of this board and presenting many weeks of evidence and challenging what is being presented, we all had agreed back then that we'd wait until the time was ripe. And the time is not ripe. A couple of other points I just wanted to make was that, I mean, these hearings are expensive. How many weeks of hearings, at what cost are we going to have, and when are we going to have them if we were to start that? PowerTech says, well, they wanted to narrow the issues by waiting for the federal government to do their work. Well, fine. Let's let them do that. They said the permits are not issued, now issued. Come on, how? Let's just get real. They don't have a final permit they can act on. If you give them water, what are they going to do with it? I mean, one of the things that in the tentative permit that was issued by this board, the instructions were that PowerTech start and finish reclaiming all the thousands of unplugged boreholes. I haven't heard a report from PowerTech, hey, you know, we finished that in our good faith. We are really ready to proceed. This board said you got to do that first. So I ask that that be taken into consideration. And where PowerTech wants you to go, they think you're going to just quickly grant this permit. And that's not going to shorten the federal process. That process is going to continue. So we may go 6 weeks and then have to just get everything out the window, like it's happened to us before. And I'm almost done. It was mentioned that under the scheduling that was proposed, for example, that perhaps the DANR could do an update by January. That's a lot of work because so much has changed since 2013. So I don't know how realistic that would be. It would certainly not be realistic for us to be able to get that report, then be seeking experts, and then be going. I mean, the dates just don't make any sense, and it's premature, it's unnecessary. The federal matters should be allowed to continue so that this board can then, in a timely fashion, deal with the substantive issues, which we all, I think everybody agrees, are really, really important. I thank the board for its time. We strongly oppose the motion and ask that an order be issued. You know, if we want to come back in a year for a status hearing, see where we're at, that might make sense, or longer, or just put this off indefinitely until, in fact, the federal matters are done. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Ellison. I'm going to go to you, Mr. Blanco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tom Belenko, representing the Institute for Range and the American Mustang, and Susan Watt, who operate the Wild Horse Sanctuary outside of Hot Springs. And I think, as we determined in the Nuclear Regulatory Commission hearings, are one of the closest water users to the proposed project. I don't have a lot new to add, and I don't want to impose on the board's time. You've heard, I think, compelling argument from the state's attorney, from the Oglala Sioux Tribe, and from Mr. Ellison. I've been involved in this case from the beginning, along with Mr. Ellison and PowerTech's attorney, Mr. Pugsley. We look around and see many more people than when this started, and I think that's a good thing. As has been mentioned, there are many pending permit issues at the federal level that remain unresolved. Foremost is this hearing pending before the D.C. Circuit next month. IRAM, the Institute for Range and the American Mustang, is a appellant in that proceeding. So we certainly look to the court to answer some of the questions that remain on that permit. Even in the best case scenario for PowerTech in that circumstance, the license that was issued was in the Nuclear Regulatory Commission instance was amended, as Mr. Ellison indicated, by the Atomic Safety and Licensing Board panel to add a condition precedent to beginning operations that PowerTech identify and plug up to thousands of abandoned boreholes in the proposed project area that were identified by leaks in the pumping test data, both from TVA in the 1970s and from recent pumping tests conducted as part of the NRC licensing. So there is leakage. That leakage is attributed to boreholes, and PowerTech is tasked with plugging those boreholes. That itself is a Herculean task and is a condition precedent to the NRC permit being realized. All this to say, there are many things that have to take place prior to this board wading in and expending considerable time and resources on the part of the board. And I don't come before this board very often. I have had occasion to be here before. I served as the tribal attorney for the Oglala Sioux Tribe in 2006, 2007. But I was impressed today by the number of people commenting and concerned about this. And I do want to acknowledge many of those people drove quite some distance to be here in person. And I do want to acknowledge that when gas money is not always the easiest thing to come by. So this is going to be a contested permits, and it would be a shame to see the board and the state expend those resources if they didn't have to. I think it makes logical sense that this was stayed pending the outcome of the federal permits. Those outcomes are not solid at this point. They are still pending. And we would submit that it is in the best interest of the board and, frankly, in PowerTech's best interest that this proceeding remains stayed until resolution of those federal issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blanco. Ron, could you help me out here just a minute? How many other interveners have signed up to comment on this motion?
Well, there are people online. How many of them are parties or not, I don't know.
I've looked at the sheet that you have given me here, and I don't see them on the list. I see Susan Watt.
That was her attorney,
though. And that was her attorney that just spoke in this situation. So do we have in the audience?
Martin Meyer is online as an intervener.
As an intervener?
Yes. He just chatted in.
Mr. Meyer?
Yes. Hello? Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Your comments on this motion?
Be pretty simple what I have to say. I would simply like to echo the sentiments of most of the public comment and of the attorneys, Ms. Bailey, the attorney for the Oglala Sioux, and for Mr. Ellis as well. I did take part in the water permit hearings years ago in Rapid City, and I'm not generally the most eloquent speaker in the world, but I'm passionate about this. I believe that it definitely represents a threat to our environmental resources here in the Black Hills. I know the motion right now, or the issue at hand, is whether or not to move forward without the federal appeals process being complete. I definitely would reiterate what Ms. Bailey said. To approve this, I believe, would be to ignore the appeals process. It has not been resolved at this point. But I also think it is relevant for people to be able to voice their concerns once again. As was just stated, people drove miles to be in Pier. It is going to be contested, and people do believe strongly about protecting our environment. And especially when you look at the industry in South Dakota, where we have agriculture and tourism being huge businesses for South Dakota, and both of these could be put at risk. I just wanted to read something quickly There are actually two, and you guys, I'm sure, are aware of that. There are two national priority level Superfund sites in South Dakota. And that, to me, is something that generally perhaps gets disregarded. It's pretty important to realize how much money has to be spent to clean up something that should have been cleaned up in the past. They did bring up that Virginia banned uranium mining. And I think that the fact that they were brought, the case was brought to the federal level, and in the center of that debate, it pitted the rights of a state specifically to control their natural resources and protect the environment against federal law and the
Mr.
need
Myers,
to maintain.
Mr. Yeah. Myers, I would ask that you confine yourself to the issue of whether or not we are going to recommence this hearing.
Okay, I simply wanted to state, I think that we have the right, or you have the right, and I think that was set, there was a precedent set that we do have a right to defend our natural resources, that's all. So, yeah, thank you. I would just stand with others in regard to expressing concerns about moving forward without the appeals process being resolved at this time. And I want to thank you guys. I want to thank everybody who's there today to express how important this issue is for South Dakota, and especially in the Black Hills as well, with tourism and with agriculture being major industries here. So thank you for the time letting me express that.
Thank you, sir, for your comments.
You bet.
Are there other interveners then that want to be heard on this particular issue? Registered interveners. So we do
yes.
have a group. Let's start with
yes.
you, Ms. Jardin. Dr. Jardin.
Good afternoon. Thank you for allowing us to speak. My name is Dr. Lilius Jarding. I live in Rapid City. My degree is in political science with a focus on environmental policy, and I have about 30 years of research background on uranium mining, much of it in South Dakota. I'm a published author in professional journals on the topic, and have presented at national and international conferences on the topic. I'm not going to rehash all that has been said, but I think there are a couple of points that I do want to make. One is just a very quick correction. PowerTech's parent company is not merging with an American mining company. It is being bought out by another Canadian company, so I just wanted to get that on the record. I think that if the board was to allow a restart of the proceedings, both for with all of the objections that have already been stated, there's a couple that I think might be added to the pile. One is the question of how would the board handle the witnesses and evidence already presented. I know that the one of the experts that I had relied on has passed away, so we will need new experts. We will have new evidence. And it should be, I think, open to new interveners as well. And I ask that the board keep interveners on the intervener list who replied after the deadline to update addresses, because those people have the rights to participate in the process. I think that the thing that strikes me the most is that PowerTech is complaining about a situation that it helped to create. And if it feels that it is in a catch-22, they could have objected 8 years ago, for one thing, at any time between now and then. If they dislike what they consider a catch-22, they hold the keys to a solution. An easy solution would be to withdraw its applications for the state permits until the federal process was done and we knew if there was even a need for applications for new water permits. So I would suggest that that would be a solution to the entire proceedings, and I oppose the motion to continue the process. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Who would like to be next? Could you state your name and affiliation, please?
This one is. My name is Sarah Peterson, and I'm the organizer of It's All About the Water down in Fall River in Custer County. We're a grassroots movement. I agree with Ann Mind Bailey's and also Stephen Blair's, the Assistant Attorneys General, 100% in the brief that they presented. They did their research and found out what we have known all along. PowerTech has no permits. They have none of the 9 permits that they need to start mining. Both the EPA and NRC permits are in litigation and have not been permitted to them yet. I support all the recommendations of the Attorneys General and Bruce Ellison and what everybody else that is against opening this hearing up again have said, what Lilius actually added to anything in when or if this board ever reconvenes on this matter again. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you for your comments. Who would like to be next? Come on up. Please let us know who you are and what your affiliation is.
Hello, my name is Gina Parkhurst, and I have no official affiliations. I'm representing myself as a homeowner and water customer in Rapid City. May I ask who's the chair today?
I'm the chair.
So I should address you. Okay. Thank you. All right. So I am happy to be an A intervener. As has been said before, PowerTech claims their federal permits have been issued. As just described by Attorney Ann Mines Bailey this morning, the permits from the Bureau of Land Management, otherwise known as the BLM, have not been issued. I support the state's recommendation not to proceed with the PowerTech water permit hearing. As mentioned previously by others, other federal permits are not free and clear to use. Also, earlier today, some people have suggested that this proceeding be reopened to new interveners. As was pointed out earlier, many interveners have died or moved out of state. And new residents are coming in daily. I just heard that there are 7,000 new residents in Rapid City just over the last year. The South Dakota State Constitution does say that the water in the state belongs to the people of this state. So again, makes sense to open this up to new interveners, as they are the key stakeholders in water permits such as these. As is mentioned before, uranium mining always leaves a legacy of pollution, despite the best efforts of companies trying to prevent that outcome. As we all know, the half-life of uranium is 4.5 billion, that's B as in boy, billion years.
Again, Ms. Parkhurst, I'd like to have you confine yourself to reopening this hearing and that discussion.
Okay. Well, then this part might not be acceptable, but I just want to tell you, why am I here? Why did I drive here from Rapid City? Well, water is important to me because I will forever deal with skeletal birth defects caused by exposure to toxic water while I was in my mother's womb. And so before any decision is made on whether or not to move forward with restarting PowerTech's water permit hearings. I urge this board to watch the excellent movie, Crying Earth, Rise Up. It's about a six-year-old girl who lived on the Pine Ridge, who was in the hospital due to kidney failure that was most likely caused by uranium mining toxins in the water she drank. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Who do we have next?
Brenda Gamash. And I'm going to make it quick since it's hard for me to speak. But no is my answer to opening the hearings. These men have caused expense and stress and all kinds of problems. And we need to end it and protect the people of South Dakota. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Other interveners? Ma'am?
Good afternoon. My name is Susan Henderson. I have attended a lot of meetings and hearings with you. I am the owner and operator of my family's 16-square-mile cattle ranch that has been in our family since 1902. I am here to object strenuously to the continuation of these hearings for PowerTech and its successors in interest. I think that we are not well serving our public by proceeding with this project. Therefore, I strenuously object. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else?
I was brought out there with
others. Please come up here. We're going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
Is this the spot?
This is the spot. And your name and affiliation, please.
My name is Mary Helen Peterson, and I live in Hot Springs, South Dakota. I was one of the original interveners. I had just moved over here when they had their first meeting in Hot Springs, which was in 2012, and Lilius came down and talked to us, and I realized how bad things were getting around there before because of the past over in Edgemont. And so I joined it up then, and I just come here to say I feel that this should not be prolonged, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Any others? Yes, ma'am.
Hello. My name is Carla Marshall, and I am a member of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, and I also live in Rapid City, South Dakota. I have relatives down in the Red Shirt Table along the Cheyenne, and, of course, the Cheyenne River runs along our border of the, on the Cheyenne River Reservation. I'm here today to first say I wasn't going to come because there's a, you know, there's a fire going on in Rapid. So, and it was very close to my house. So thank goodness for firefighters and water. Heard it was 50% contained. But I oppose PowerTech or any uranium mining in treaty territory of the Great Sioux Nation. Leave uranium in the ground. Do not restart these water permit hearings, as this would be premature and as such contrary to the principles of judicial economy, given its pending and incomplete federal permit license applications. So they're basically in legal limbo right now. I would encourage that you open the intervener process, or as you put it, parties, process up again due to the length of time that has passed. Many of our people have passed, some that were very vocal and did a lot of research on this and lived down on the Pine Ridge and other places. But, you know, so I think it would be in the best interest of the state of South Dakota and the people of the state of South Dakota that you reopen this up for the interveners. I am, I believe, a C intervener, but I'd like to be a B, you know, if you move me up. I've been involved with this from pretty much from day one. I remember coming to Rapid City, I remember being there in Rapid City at the water board hearing you guys had, and I remember saying, you know, if you approve this, this is water suicide, which it is. I do some work with Western Mining Action Network also, and we have people from all over the United States. We don't know where this uranium would go. It would probably go down to White Mesa Mill, which there's an indigenous community just downstream from them. So it's not only going to affect the people here in the Edgemont area and downstream of Angostura and stuff, and all the way to the Missouri River, but also it's going to affect people across the Midwest. So
again, Ms. Marshall, confine yourself to the issue.
Okay. So I think it's in the best interest of the people that you deny PowerTech's request. And the other thing I'd like to mention, too, is that so during this time it was PowerTech and then Azarga and now this NCOR. So where does that, you know, how does that work? Shouldn't NCOR now be the one that has the permit? Shouldn't they have to come in and say, I'm going to apply for this water permit and go through since day one? I mean, you know, it's a new business coming in, I would think. So I guess, you know, we know that the drought is bad. If you look up into, you know, previous uranium mines, it's a bad deal. So, you know, water is precious and it must be protected, especially now in this drought. I mean, the last time I was at the water board meeting back in May, one of the DENR staff gave his report, and he started out with, it's dry out. You know, that was the start of his report. And then later on, he asked if any of you knew of a rain dancer. And I see you guys probably didn't find one, because coming from South Dakota, from Rapid City, it's very dry, you know. So we need to, you know, there's probably going to be people needing to dig deeper wells because of this drought. Heard there's cattle that are dying up on the plains because the dam waters are so stagnant, you know. So that's all I have to say, and I greatly appreciate your time. And, yeah, thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Other interveners?
Mr. Chairman, we do have one person online, Ron, over here. Julie Ames Curtis is an intervener, and she would like to speak.
Thank you, Ron. Julie?
Star 6. Okay, I think maybe you got it unmuted. Star 6 if you're not.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Okay. Just a moment. I didn't know you were going to tell us. Get me out of my head. So I am Julie Ames Curtis. I am a B intervener, and I live in near Custer, South Dakota, more out towards Jewel Cave National Monument, which, as the crow flies, is very close to the Dewey Burdock mine. So I have faith that you will keep the best interest of we taxpaying and concerned and water depending citizens who you represent in making your decision in this pivotal moment. My voice today urges you to deny PowerTech's request to start the water permitting process for their Dewey Burdock uranium mine project. I cannot give the details. Other people have given details very well about why not to proceed. And your role is to make sure we in South Dakota have water for our lives, as water is essential for our life. So I'm urging you to stay this request and until further permits that are not even issued right now need to be issued. And we don't know the outcome of what the courts are going to decide, nor do we know, as we have talked, or Bruce Ellison has talked about, is that it could be years. And do we want to put the taxpayers, do we want to put concerned citizens, do we need to spend all the time and money into doing something that is not for citizens of this state? It's a company that doesn't even have interests here and might not even care what happens to the water afterwards. So I urge you to deny this request. And also, if and when this permitting hearings may start, please allow more interveners to sign on. As it was stated before, I can't believe 7,000 people have moved into the Rapid City area, and I live in Custer, and there's just new houses going up all the time with need for water. So there's many folks that might want to, and I know want to be involved in this, and it would be greatly appreciated if more interveners could sign on at this point. And I just want you to remember that I know water is essential for all life, for all of us. And thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you for your comments. Ron, is there anyone else online?
I asked the question if there was, and I have not got any response, so I am assuming no more interveners online.
Any other interveners in the room today? Okay, thank you. The next thing we're going to do is have a rebuttal, and we'll start with Mr. Nas for PowerTech. We talked about brevity, I think.
I remember that, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate you holding us to that, so I will do my best here. Just want to touch base on a couple things that were mentioned by the comments of the other interveners. First of all, you've been given lots of reasons to make the easy decision here today. Nobody will deny that. DANR, in its presentation, indicated that PowerTech consented to a delay by filing its motion to continue back in 2013. I'd like to read for you briefly from PowerTech's motion. Comes now applicant, PowerTech USA, Inc., and moves the hearing chair to continue the December 9, 2013 hearing in these matters until, one, the United States Nuclear Regulatory Commission staff has issued a source and byproduct material license to PowerTech for the Dewey-Burdock project and has determined the financial assurance, and two, the United States Environmental Protection Agency has made aquifer exemption determinations and issued underground injection control Class 3 and Class 5 permits to PowerTech for the Dewey-Burdock project and has determined the financial assurance. Those things have happened. The permits have been issued. No one denies that. The permits have been provided to you. The financial assurances have been determined by those agencies. As a bit of an aside, one thing that motion doesn't do is request this matter be continued until such time as the BLM acts. The BLM issue is addressed in our brief, but certainly is a red herring as it relates to the issues before this board, continuing this matter, requiring this matter not proceed until such time as the federal permits would become more final. The order then by, as it were, Mr. Freeman at the time, states, this is from the 25 November 2013 order, it is hereby ordered that PowerTech's motion to continue is granted. And it goes on from there, and it does go on from there to use the term resolved. But if DANR's legal position to deny PowerTech
the opportunity to move forward is premised on PowerTech's consent to delay. That consent hinged on issuance of permits and determination of financial assurances. Those have been addressed. You've not heard anyone denying that. You've not heard anyone providing you with any legal authority otherwise to continue to delay these proceedings. November 9 is a red herring. You've heard that the D.C. Court of Appeals will hear oral argument in the NRC permit at that time. You're being asked, because that date is on the calendar, to continue to delay these proceedings. But as you've also heard, after that oral argument, there will be additional proceedings. What you've not heard is any legitimate reason why the federal appeal process and the state permitting process can't be maintained in parallel, can't proceed in parallel. You've been asked to deny our application to move forward because it's the easy thing to do. PowerTech has rights too. PowerTech has the rights to have its applications heard on the merits. The review that this board will undertake is limited to the state statutes, the issues that you're all well familiar with regarding availability of water, impairment of existing rights, etc. Those will be the issues this board needs to come to determinations on, not the issues that the different federal appellate courts and agencies are dealing with. If I could go back just briefly regarding the language of the order, there was some conversation about final orders. As we said in our brief, a final agency decision or final order is a term of art in administrative law. Clearly, PowerTech's motion to continue, if that's what the authority to further delay this proceedings is based on, could have requested this matter be delayed until final agency action. Additionally, an order could have stated these matters are continued until final agency action or final agency from those courts of appeals who may consider the issues. Neither the motion nor the order said that. Finally, Mr. Ellison requested this be put off for a year or indefinitely until the agencies and courts have made final decisions on this matter. And again, that's a clear effort to delay this matter, delay this board from hearing this matter indefinitely. Again, as identified by the board 8 years ago, and as agreed to by DANR in their briefing, there's no legal impediment to moving this matter forward now. No reason these matters can't go forward in parallel. And as Ms. Bailey identified in her presentation, this board has never before said, we're not going to hear your state permit until all your other permits are in line. Don't overlook the precedent in doing that now, in saying now, PowerTech, you don't have the right to have your application heard because everything else over which this board has no jurisdiction has not been decided. I don't think it's hyperbole to focus on the danger of such a precedent. With that, if there are no further questions, or if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. If there aren't, thank you for your time, and we respectfully request that this board schedule a date for hearing on these matters.
Thank you, Mr. Noss. We're gonna hold on questions until we're completed with our comments.
I wanted to ask you one question, or a couple of them, while you're here.
That's all right. I can get him back.
Can you?
Yeah. We can wait till the end.
Let's wait till the end. Ms. Wines-Bailey, do you have any additional comments?
This is Ann Mines-Bailey on behalf of the Chief Engineer in the Groundwater Program. I just want to address Mr. Naz's comments about the precedent that you would be setting. The reality is this board doesn't have any other litigation that's been on hold for 8 years. I hope we never run into this kind of situation again, quite honestly. I think it's very difficult to kick the can. I'm not in favor of it generally. In this case, however, I do believe that the determination of whether or not to resume these proceedings is within your discretion, and you have the duty and the opportunity to examine the different interests. While the applicant clearly has an interest to be heard on the merits in a timely fashion, they did consent to a delay. We disagree about whether or not the reason for that delay that they consented to has concluded. Reasonable jurists disagree, but I don't believe that you would be setting a precedent to say that we need to wait now, that we need to, in the interests of efficiency or whatever other interests you may deem worthy of considering here, somehow outweighs the quick resolution of the application. I don't think that sets an evil precedent. And I just want to make it clear, it is not the position of the programs that we delay this indefinitely. We are just as interested in having this application concluded as PowerTech is and as the interveners are. Several comments were made about reopening the intervention process and requiring a new application process. I question whether or not you would like me to address those issues right now, or if that would be something that we would pick up later. But I would like to make comment on that when the time is appropriate.
I think making a comment on that, just a comment on it now, was probably appropriate, but we're not, I don't think, in any position to make any kinds of...
Okay. So it would be the position of the programs that the process cannot be opened for further intervention under the state statutes, the way the state statutes work. I would also point out that under the state statutes for the water rights, there is a specific statute that allows for the transfer of an application when the interested party changes hands. In fact, I believe the board saw that happen just the meeting or two before, where the business applied for the permit and an individual came in. The application was transferred to an individual. With regard to a new application under the statute, the board has three options. They can grant an application, deny an application, or defer an application. But I am unable to locate any authority that would require or that would allow the board to require a new application. That also stands for the groundwater program as well. Oh, and I forget I'm representing more than one program sometimes. With regard to the intervention the new application on the groundwater program, they don't have a specific statute, but what is required is a certification of applicants, and that would have to be they would have to submit a new certification of applicant, but that does not trigger the need for a new application under the statute. With that, we look forward to the board's ruling and further discussion on any scheduling issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ellison?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I will make an effort to be brief. I kind of got a little bit lost in some of the discussions over consent or not. I mean, PowerTech made a motion, and they're trying to limit it to, as was in their motion, just simply the EPA and the NRC. However, as everyone now understands, there's also the BLM permits. When this board decided in 2013 to decide on the issue of continuing these proceedings, it granted PowerTech's motion, but it then went beyond that.
and noted that all the interveners had thought, let's get this until all pending federal applications are done. That's what the order ultimately concluded. So consent or not, what's clear is this board had already decided that it didn't want to duplicate effort. What I now heard from PowerTech was they said, let's do it at the same time. We've had hearings over years in front of the NRC. I can't understand the idea for judicial economy and the resources that we have too few of to make the administrative decisions that need to be so carefully decided that we should do what somebody else may decide contrary to what we decide. And we spend 6 weeks, 8 weeks doing hearings, and then 2 years from now, a federal court says or an agency says no. One of the reasons why the EPA had asked for an extension of time in the administrative process was not only the D.C. Circuit, but they also decision, but they also said we have a new administration that seems to be looking at things differently than the previous one did. That alone could change what the EPA does. So how much are we going to do to satisfy PowerTech's needs when they can't do anything with the water permit anyway? They haven't even done the boreholes. They're not showing they're really ready to start. Why waste our time, our resources, and until this matter is decided by people who've looked at it very carefully after many hours of hearings, days of hearings, weeks of hearings, and whether the propriety of those decisions, in fact, stand up to the law. That's really pending before us now. So I thank you for your time. I hope I was brief enough, but do thank you.
Thanks, sir. Mr. Gunn, do you have further comments? Mr. Gunn, are you still there?
Star 6 to unmute.
Mr. Belenko, are you available?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tom Belenko once again. And in the spirit of brevity, I think what we've heard from Mr. Ellison about the actual order that was issued staying these proceedings and the practical matter that these federal permits, when these issues are resolved, makes this board's role easier via incorporation by reference where appropriate, only makes sense to continue this stay. And I really have nothing further to say. I think it's in the board's best interest to continue this stay until we have actual resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gunn, are you available? Doesn't sound like he happens to be. Does anyone else have anything additional to what they said during their previous comments? Then I'm going to turn it over to the board members for questions of the applicant, of the state, and of the interveners. And I would ask that to answer those questions, if you would please come up to the front.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of questions for Mr. Nawaz. First of all, we've had discussion about this, not that this pertains to this particular motion, but the BLM authority. Does BLM's authority just exist on their portion of a lease that you would have with them, or do they have the authority to kibosh the whole project or approve it?
That's a great question. It's just that portion that they have authority over. If you'd like, I can quote from our brief that actually identifies the number of acres and as it relates to the total number of acres in the entire project. I don't have it on the top of my head, but if I can find it.
No, I just wondered if they had full authority or just on their portion. That was my thing. The other thing is probably a timeline. There's been a little discussion about plugging the old boreholes in the work area. What kind of a timeline does PowerTech see for that work to begin? Is that after a certain amount of stuff has been approved or everything's done? Or before we start work, or what's the deal?
Certainly, Mr. Hubmacher, it would be before operations began, because that is a condition of the NRC permit, as I understand it, as it relates to the specific timeline. Frankly, I'm just not in a position to answer that today. Understanding, though, that if the State Water Board, again, authorizes this permit, then we can go back to the large-scale mining permit from the BM&E, which will allow us to open up the property, which will then permit us to, go in and start those sorts of operations, including plugging those boreholes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Noss. That's all my questions.
Other questions from board members? Thank you, Mr. Noss. Any questions for the state or the interveners from the members of the board? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion on the issue at hand.
Mr. Chairman, this is Freeman. I'd like to make a motion and then explain the basis of the motion, if I might, when we get to discussion, if there's a second. I would move to deny the motion to reopen the matter and to wait, as the original order stated, that we wait until the federal issues are resolved to our satisfaction as a board.
Motion has been made to deny the motion to reopen. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, I'll second that motion.
The motion has been made and seconded. Further discussion on the motion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, for the benefit of the board and the participants, this certainly should not be construed by any of the parties as a window into the merits of the case. I just don't think it's appropriate for the state of South Dakota and this board to spend millions of dollars once again on an issue and then have the rug pulled out from under our feet after we've made a decision. The two concerns I have are exactly what I believe Ms. Hines Bailey addressed, and that's kicking the can down the road. I'm not in favor of that. I think that's a cowardly approach to things to make possibly some future board deal with issues that we could confront now. But in these circumstances, it just doesn't make sense for this board to move forward when the Federal Appeals Court particularly and the other agencies could pull the rug out from under us. The other is the precedent, and I agree this is a very unique situation, and I don't think we're sending a message to the citizens of the state that want to apply for a permit that you've got to get every other permit on a federal and state light basis before we will discuss it. Again, I think this is a unique situation, and based upon our recent experience, I just don't want to go through that again. That's the basis for my motion.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr.
I'd like to make just a couple comments. I agree with what Mr. Freeman said, and after the deal with the pipeline thing and the one stroke of the pen kind of jerked the rug out from underneath us when we spent months working on that project is really kind of disheartening, and I don't want to go through that project again anyway. And I know that they have the right to have a speedy hearing of their permit, and I agree with that, but I'm just not comfortable at this point to proceed and dive in with both feet. I'd like to hold off, and maybe the thing we do is come back in 6 months or a year and revisit this and see where the appeals process and everything else has went. Thank you.
Other comments from the board?
Well, I would just like to say, this is Freeman again, that I agree that a status report within 6 months to a year, more than likely a year would be appropriate. But we got a status report from PowerTech, notify everybody of that status report, and then make a determination of where we are with the appeals court primarily, because my guess is most everything's hanging on the appellate court at this point. So I would agree with Jim entirely.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Other comments? Would you please read back the motion? Thank you. You've all heard the motion. Call the roll, please.
Dixon? Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Utmaker?
Aye.
Bjork?
Aye.
Motion carried unanimously.
This is Dixon. Hello. This is Dixon.
Yes, Peggy.
I'm voting for the motion, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy. A unanimous decision then to deny the motion to reopen the hearing on the PowerTech applications. I'm going to ask Mr. McVeigh if we need any further documentation to go with this motion. And if you would weigh in on it, Ms. Mines-Bailey. Thank you all for being here, and we appreciate your time and your effort and your comments. And Mr. Ellison, it looks like you want to say something? Okay, 1 minute.
It seems to me that it would be appropriate to have a written order signed by the board chair. I think it would also be appropriate to make some sort of record specifying the date that you would like a status report, and also addressing the intervener addresses. They were recently by order to be updated, and I think it would be good if there were official direction from the board when the status report has to be given, if we mail it out to the updated intervener address list, or what the obligations for service are. Well, I'll leave it at that. I don't.
Okay, understand, we'll have Mr. McVeigh, we'll put together an order addressing those issues, and then we'll review that again at our next meeting.
Mr. Williams also pointed out to me that there is a motion on Mr. Ellison's motion regarding electronic service is also still open.
Indeed.
And we might want to discuss that before we conclude the meeting.
Okay.
So I'll put together an order for the board that contemplates, the result of the board's vote, along with a set date for a status report and a direction that for service of that status report, it should go to the updated interveners list. I think that's probably all that needs to go into that order, unless you think of something else. And then as to the motion for electronic service, I would suggest that we just hear the motion and start with Mr. Ellison, as he's the mover.
Mr. Ellison. Movement.
The mover. It's kind of strange when one feels their mind is being read.
Thank you for allowing me to briefly present on this. We're having a terrible time trying to locate everybody. I think everybody's having a terrible time trying to locate everybody who was here before. And those efforts will continue between now and when we have a status hearing. There are so many people, though, who are still involved. The cost of and the effort by either individual interveners or, you know, I'm semi-retired. I don't have any staff. To be able to serve people by email, I'm not talking about the original pleading. That, of course, has to be in writing going to the chief engineer. In the past, in other proceedings, we've done also an electronic copy to the chief engineer. We've done electronic copies to the email addresses of interveners, other parties that we are aware of. And then requirement that any that we don't have an email address for, that we then have to do a mailing. This would really save a lot of time. It would save a lot of money. And in addition, I wanted to also have that request extended to orders of this board. I sometimes think the mail would be faster between Rapid City and Pierre and Pierre and Rapid City if somebody threw it in their backpack and walked. Because I know sometimes it takes a week. And sometimes when an order comes a few days before a proceeding, I don't get it. I mean, my mailbox is a mile and a half from my house, and the post office is about 10 miles away. And I know that's the same for a lot of people. But especially under the pandemic, you know, we haven't been going into town a lot. It would just make it so much easier and quicker if simply any orders were issued electronically. Certainly a paper copy is helpful, but I think for everyone, it would just be simpler. The record would be simpler because then you get paperwork that has to be scanned and put into electronic file. I mean, the whole process would be much easier. So that's all I'm going to say. It's really a housekeeping matter, and one that would just facilitate the whole process and for everybody.
Mr. Ellison, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it in statute that much of this information has to be mailed?
You know, that's a real question because I know other boards, and I think even with this board at times, we've done this electronically as well. And then there seemed to be a decision a couple of years ago that we're just going to do it on paper. I would welcome other counsel to chime in on that. I know the original proceeding for sure has to be filed in writing and on paper. And I'm not suggesting a change in that. I'm suggesting an enhancement of that.
And I agree with you. I mean, things have changed since 8 years ago dramatically. And there's a lot of things that we need to do more quickly.
Sure.
And I think maybe Ann Mines Bailey has got the statute there that talks about paper copies.
Here, I'll just come sit next to you.
Okay, please.
Okay. So, because we're dealing with two different programs, there's two different proceedings that have been consolidated into one. And so we have the water right rules, and we have the groundwater discharge plan rules. So the water right rules are governed, the statute that governs this is 46-286. It provides the originals of all pleadings, including petitions to contest, petitions to intervene, and motions, shall be filed with the chief engineer and served upon other parties, either personally or by mail. There is also ARSD 74-50-0207, which is applicable in groundwater discharge plan proceedings, which requires the mailing of all pleadings. I believe pleadings would include motions and such. There's also a rule in that actually requires certified mail of pleadings, which presumably the board has waived because I can't find any record of us doing certified mail mailings for all of the things that we've done in PowerTech. I know Mr. Ellison is referring to the matters in TransCanada. And I have a slightly different recollection of that. I recall that the board allowed for interveners to accept service by electronic email, however you were supposed to opt into it. I never opted into it because as an office policy, I need to get it hard copy. Nonetheless, I was served or not served at all via email. And I know that there are pleadings that I did not get during that TransCanada hearing that I only got because they were filed with the chief engineer. And my client was kind enough to give me a copy when something came in. So the programs would oppose because of the statute and the rules and also because of the pragmatic problem of actually receiving service through email. However, we do share the similar concern with over 100 pieces. A third of the mail was coming back to us as undeliverable. And so, we do sympathize with the difficulties of procuring service through mail. But by statute and rule, I feel that's where we're at. We're stuck.
May I ask a question of Ms. Mines-Bailey? Ms. Mines-Bailey, does the statute say by U.S. mail or by mail?
It says by mail, and it was promulgated in 1983. I don't think email was contemplated back then.
So I would urge the board to exercise its perhaps inherent authority to interpret mail to be either. There is a problem, and we have to resolve it, whether it's on paper or electronically, of everybody getting copies. That's a continuous problem, especially with so many people.
1983?
Yeah. So, anyway, I asked the board to help us out, make it a little bit easier that way.
I think then that's probably an issue we as a board and the state agency may very well address.
Mr. Sure. Chair, Richard Williams on behalf of PowerTech. I think for the first time today, PowerTech is going to agree with the programs. I've had the unfortunate experience of being in front of the Supreme Court trying to argue that shall didn't mean shall. They told me it meant shall. And so, unfortunately, I think we're stuck with the statute. Thank you.
But the statute just says may. But I do thank the board for taking this matter up and for considering it and would await your decision. I do thank the board for being willing to at least consider this matter and will await your decision on it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, is there a way we can... I don't know how we get an official attorney general's opinion on that. Or do we just kind of try to be legislators without being elected and do it ourselves?
He's not going to let us do that.
An official attorney general's opinion on whether mail means email or it's just snail mail.
It's mail. That's regular mail.
You don't think we can do that, huh?
No. Well, and just as a side note from a pragmatic concern.
Do you want this on the record or what?
Probably not.
I was just going to simply raise the pragmatic concern as well. I'm not aware that we have a record of all the email addresses for people or even whether all the interveners even have email. Essentially the program would have to create a new document wherein they would have to obtain email addresses from all the interveners. So, I mean, that pragmatic concern coupled with the fact that, as we send a letter to a group of interveners to try and get them to provide us with electronic mail, those addresses may... The written addresses may even be stagnant at that point, which is why we just went through this process of trying to have everyone update their contact information. And my understanding is that while several people did update their contact information, some updates came in after the deadline, for example. On some level, we have to figure that out as well. But, are the folks that updated their contact information but did so after our deadline date, are they going to be considered as valid interveners? Which, I mean, they probably should, but, I would include those people, but the board should, say that, I guess.
So So what you're telling me is we can't be legislators and we need to pass this on to someone who can fix the problem, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mary, Senator.
Do you, since that was a motion, do we need a motion to deny?
We need it. We do indeed.
Then I would so move, Mr. Chair. Sorry. To deny Bruce, Mr. Ellison's motion for electronic service.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, call the roll, please.
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Hutmaker?
Aye.
And Bjork?
Aye. Motion carried. Thanks to everyone for coming today. Unless we have any other business before the board, I will entertain a motion to...
No, December 8th.
That's right. Thank you, sir. We need to determine our December 8th and or 9th meeting and where we're going to have that.
The recommendation is in Pier for December 8th and 9th.
Any comments on that? That certainly works for me.
Yep, it works for me.
Me too.
Peggy, does that work for you?
In Pier?
That should be fine, yes, indeed.
Okay, thank you. So we will then go with... in Pier, December 8th and or 9th, whatever we need. Motion to adjourn, do I hear?
Ooh.
Motion made.
This is for...
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign, motion carried. We are adjourned. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.